much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Bring the action.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Got it.
You got it?
Got it.
All right, good. Good.
I'm not going to repeat it back to you, but I got it.
I think I would feel better if you just said it once back to me that it was clear.
Okay, I'm going to be you and repeat it back to you.
No, don't just repeat my words. Say it in your own words so I know that you got the message.
But if I do it as me, then...
But if you say it in your
pronouns,
own
words... The pronouns change.
Again.
Okay. Wait, why?
Sam, and then another question I want to ask you, Sam. Have you ever watched Steven Seagal back in 1990, Hard to Kill?
No.
Yeah, let me educate you about the movie, Sam. It's... Come on, Sam. It's getting irritated, man. I can't even talk while you playing that dumb stuff. Let me talk, Sam.
And now...
Go, period. Period. Yourself. Exclamation point.
Our feature presentation.
He is magic on that recorder. I mean, he really knows how to play. It brings it to life.
Okay.
Is that what we're saying?
No.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. It's the 5th of November.
How are y'all surviving the arrival of winter? Everybody okay? Everybody making in all right this morning?
I had to start my car early.
Did you?
Yeah, whoa. It was so cold. No.
I mean...
That's fine. I mean, it's you know, it's a little cooler.
It's not even going to be 80 today. How are you going to survive?
Well, we'll take that when it comes. I mean, I don't know. Last night was hard enough to get through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Day by day.
You go outside this afternoon.
Right.
It's like 78.
Right.
How are you supposed to live? How are you supposed to go about your business? How are you supposed to pretend that the world's okay?
Scarves, beanies, and Uggs. Like LA.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
What else is
it? Or just stay here for life. Just move in, start ordering food.
Yeah.
Set up a cot.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Wait till the heat comes back in early January.
Right.
Just get through this rough patch. This
or few next weeks week.
Or next week, right? Yeah. Or Saturday. Who knows? Anyway, welcome in, kids. It is Thursday. I know I suggested a phone topic a few months ago, but I don't think we ever did it. Did we do the doctor told you you had X amount of time to live? Did we ever do that topic, or did we just talk about it off the air?
I think we just talked about it off the air.
Because I had gone to the dentist, and I was sitting in the operating room, and I was talking to a lady, and we were – I don't remember how we got on the topic of how we both ended up with this dentist. But we had both fairly recently switched dentists, and hers had died. And then she started going into all these stories about her medical history. She was like 75 years old. And old people love to talk about their health. And she had talked about how she went to the doctor one day. And I can't exactly remember the details now, but she had some sort of embolism in her heart. And ooh. They did a scan on her. And they said, you're going to die in 1 hour if we don't get you to the emergency room. And she had no idea there was anything wrong with her.
1 hour?
And she goes to the doctor. They say, you have an hour to live. Well, obviously she's fine because this was 4 years later. She's telling me this story. So I thought that would be fascinating. And here's another story to add to that list. And this one happened in the great state of California, in Napa Valley. His name is Luis Ortiz. He's a 26-year-old student, and he went to the Queen of the Valley Medical Center this week after suffering from what he said was the worst headache of his life. It just hurt. He went into the doctor. He said, dude, help me. So they did a brain scan. And they found a live tapeworm living inside his brain.
Oh, man. My God.
Oh, man.
Yeah. He had a tapeworm living in his brain that had formed a cyst that blocked the flow of water to his brain. So the doctor sees this. The neurosurgeon, Dr. Soren Zinkel, is called in. And he said it was a close call, but he said you have 30 minutes to live. Unless we operate immediately, you are going to die. So they put Mr. Ortiz into a coma to perform the surgery, and then they discovered a sac of larvae from the tapeworm inside the brain. The doctor pulled it out, and it was still wiggling.
Oh.
So it was, you know, alive and just living in there.
Who's hungry?
Parasitic worms in human bodies. Here's the most terrifying sentence you will hear all day on today's Kevin and Bean Show or anywhere you go for media. Parasitic worms, according to the neurosurgeon, in human bodies are not uncommon.
Not uncommon?
Really?
Not uncommon?
Not uncommon. They are usually caused by eating infected meat, pork, beef, or fish. The surgery impacted Mr. Ortiz's life heavily, he says. My memory is like a work in progress now. It gets better from therapy, but I have to remind myself to do memory exercises. So he's, you know, lost his memory of certain things that he's working to get back.
I've lost that, so what?
He said, by the way, that the headaches had begun back in August, but he just ignored it until they got so bad that he could not. So maybe had he gone a little sooner, it would have been better for him. But, you know, who imagines when you get a headache, it could be any number of things. It could be, you know, it could be allergies. Who knows what it could be? But when he finally went, I guess it's good that he got in to see the guy that he got in to see, because 30 minutes later, it looks like he would have been dead. But this is not a crazy story about some kid in Africa. All right. This happened in Napa Valley.
Yeah.
Tapeworms,
though, are what you lose weight with, right? That I tried to order online? Those?
Yes, that's correct.
How do you get it from not going to your brain? Can you train it?
I know, you want
it.
Your stomach is where you want it.
You train it.
With, like, treats.
Okay.
You got to find out what a tapeworm loves and make sure to eat a lot of that so he gravitates down from your brain into your stomach.
Right. Roll over, they're dead.
We had Dr. Duran years ago, Allie, and I very seriously tried to talk him into endorsing me doing exactly what you're talking about, is getting a tapeworm and having to go to work. And he would not sign off on it because he's a little bitch.
Right? Well, after hearing this story, I think maybe I'm leaning towards not pressing send on that order.
Well, you know, either way, we win.
Right?
Wow. Oh. Bean.
Right? That's hurtful, Bean. You're not a nice person.
No.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
I see where this is going, and I think you should stop.
Somebody is stealing the goddamn meatloaf. And all hell is breaking loose. So we're going to tell you the behind-the-scenes story of that. You do not want to steal the meatloaf.
No.
I'm just telling you that right now.
Not a euphemism, by the way.
Nope.
No.
Dr. Drew will be on the program today, so you can...
Speaking of, my mortal foe.
Yell at him about that, I guess, because he didn't want you to have a tapeworm. Jim Rome will be on the program today, talking sports. And we also have Will Wheaton on the program. He's going to be on Big Bang Theory.
Who?
It's Will Wheaton.
Very good.
There you go. That's better. It's the only way his name can be said now.
We will take a break. Come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Ralph Garman.
Yeah, right?
Ralph Garman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good on, Ralph Garman.
Woo! Happy morning.
Oh, my.
Yeah, morning.
Turn it down a
cocaine,
little.
I mean morning. Woo!
It'd be great getting more just to just a big line. Just boom. Start your day. Bang. I think it might be good for a short while.
Ah, long while.
And then after that,
long
I think it catches up with you.
Long.
I think it's no way to live a life, Ralph.
Ah,
well.
It's a way.
Try it,
a big way.
Try it once.
Well, I don't think it's for me, but...
I'm saying try it once, though. It could still not be for you, but you just try it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's all do some. Somebody bring us an eight ball. Let's try a little experiment here today. Come on, everybody.
Do that.
Cowards. I work with
cowards.
That
is the one-way ticket to being able to sleep in tomorrow, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Unless we all get fired.
Oh.
Oh.
No. Oh.
That's how that would work.
I didn't see that coming. I should have thought this out more carefully.
They'd fire you for having someone bring us cocaine and doing
it? Yes. Yes, I believe they would.
Whatever happened to sex, drugs, and rock and roll, man?
I know.
Whatever happened to the radio industry where record execs would just bring you just big baggie of blow and the latest cut off the new album from ABBA. You just slap that on the old turntable and everybody just do a big old rail and woo! Pop the champagne. Good times.
You just missed it by about 35 years, Ralph.
Is that all?
That's how it used to work. Can you imagine?
Story of my life. Day, dollar short and 35 years too late. There used to be a time in radio, man, where you would par mother effing A.
Pare?
Tay.
Tay, okay.
Sorry.
Partay.
Yeah, that's why I missed it. That's why they won't let me in, because I forgot the T in partay. Speaking of parties, tomorrow night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I, not handcuffed by the rules here at K-Rock, will do drugs and get drunk and perform. Yeah, the way it's supposed to be done. It's called Hollywood Babylon. We do it at the Improv on Melrose. We're bringing it back this week. Come out and see us. Go to improv.com and get your tickets and get your more info. We have a good time. It's going to be a particularly Bieberific episode this week.
Bieberific?
Yeah, starting to compile a lot of right. Bieber facts. It's one of our most more popular segments of the show. He's got his own theme song and everything Bieber does on our show. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you what the lyrics are here, but people like to sing along.
Have you done a Babylon since he walked off stage? When was that?
Yes.
You have? Okay.
Yes.
All right, good.
But not since he stormed out of the Mexican interview. That was a good one.
Oh.
And we got a lot of good stuff.
Not ever. No way.
You know what we probably won't be talking about? However, it's fascinating to me that Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton said, oh, we're just friends. We're friends. Friends.
Co-workers.
Stop it.
That's
friends,
all.
Friends, co-workers. Stop it. We're friends, co-workers, you people with your
sit down.
Dirty minds, sit down. Friends, co-workers, friends, co-workers, friends.
Just gossip.
Gossip, friends, workers, co-gossip, worker friends. Until yesterday they said, oh yeah, okay, we're dating.
Dude.
Come on. Why do you have to lie to us? We're going to find out anyway.
Look, I'm not casting any aspersions on anyone.
Or aspergens, in your case.
But they're both single, right?
Uh-huh.
Right.
But it does seem like a little tight in how close this dating announcement comes to her ending her marriage with Gavin Rosdale.
How dare you?
How dare you?
He has no information on that.
Not at all.
But he's willing to make that leap.
No, I'm not making any leap at all. I'm saying it feels like maybe A led to B. That's all.
You're saying because Blake Shelton divorced his wife Miranda Lambert in July, and then Gwen Stefani separated from her husband Gavin Rosdale in August. You say the two events are related in some way to this new relationship?
I'm saying there is a possibility that something came up that looked appealing on the outside of each of their marriages.
You. Hurt my heart.
Wow, why do you hate love? Sorry.
Why do you hate love?
Well, they found love.
First of all, they were just co-workers and friends, okay?
That's right. I forgot that's what they said. Yeah.
So stop it with your gossip, you mongerer.
But by the way to go, Blake Shelton.
Right? Freaking giant cowboy can get Gwen Stefani? What kind of world are we living in?
He's incredibly funny and charming. And drinks a lot.
But he's a giant cowboy.
Yeah, but he's hot. I get it, Gwen.
You have the worst taste in men.
You can look past the cowboy?
Across the board.
Absolutely. He's adorable. He's super funny. He's witty. He's talented, whether you like his music or not. What's wrong with you guys?
That's fine, but...
I think you should check your facts.
You can't go around saying how hot he is.
He's hot.
He's not. He's talented. He's all those things you said, but he's not hot.
He's hot.
Is he
waka waka?
Yeah, is
well,
he Fozzie Bear hot?
I mean, put on a pork pie hat. And we'll talk.
All right. Is he Jim Gaffigan hot? See, this is the problem. Her list of hotties reads like guys who are in before pictures in some sort of self-help ad.
Jim Gaffigan is not hot to me, but I find him attractive. It's like a sapiosexual thing. I'm into the brain.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either, but it sounds dirty.
It does.
She's smarter than all of us.
Oh,
that's
stop
sad.
It. Stop that.
But also
stop,
true.
Stop that rumor right now in its tracks, Kevin.
I'm right here, Ralph.
What?
Hmm?
You remember when I told you yesterday that Mama June threatened us all with the fact that the family was coming back to reality television?
Yeah, that was odd.
Now we know where.
Please.
It's been announced. It's going to be easy to avoid Mama June and her family as they appear on WeTV's Marriage Boot Camp Reality Stars.
Is that a thing?
It is, apparently. It's reality stars getting together to go through boot camp to save/fix/strengthen their marriages.
Okay. Is she trying to get back together with Sugar Bear?
Mama June and Sugar Bear?
Oh, really?
Will both be joining the cast of Marriage Boot Camp Reality Stars. How desperate are they to be on television if they're going to pretend like they're working on their relationship?
She's giving up the pedophile?
Just crazy.
I don't know where the pedophile stands in all this.
Hmm.
But they are getting back on, at least on television, to give the appearance that they're working on their relationship.
Hmm.
Also, other big stars on the show, Sean and Catherine from The Bachelor, Benzino and Althea from Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
Sure.
Sunday and Cedric from Basketball Wives LA. And, of course, Sarah and Jimmy Ink Man Coney from Bad Girls Club. So, the Ink Man. I don't know how they booked the Ink Man.
Wow.
But that's going to be good.
I hope they can work it out, though.
I hope Ink Man and Sarah are able to
put
everything back together again. Who's the richest female artist who made the most money over the past year? I'll tell you in the next Showbiz Beat. Because I'm out of time. It just struck me. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ryan Adams is 41 years old today. Sam Rockwell, one of my favorite all-time actors. He is great in everything that he does. If I see that he's in a movie, it will spur me to go see that film, regardless of what other elements are at play. Seth Gilliam, Father Gabriel in Walking Dead, is 47 as well. Today, Seth.
Yeah, that guy needs to go.
Wow.
He does.
Got a lot of feelings.
We're team zombie when it comes to Father Gabriel.
Famke Janssen. Oh, boy. 51 years old today. Tilda Swinton is 55. Kevin's favorite, Tilda Swinton.
Oh, I love her. Beautiful.
Bryan Adams is 56 today. Ryan Adams is 41. Bryan Adams is 56.
No way.
How crazy is that?
That's insane.
Right? Actor Robert Patrick. We've had him on the show a bunch of times. Good man. 57 years old today. And Chris Jenner. Evil succubus turned 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
Not right now, but meatloaf coming up later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You don't want to miss that. Hey, welcome into the show. We're very excited about Will Wheaton being on the Kevin and Bean program later on today. And, of course, we still got more passes for year-round access to the Disneyland Park, now the merriest place on Earth. So keep on listening here on K-Rock. There are a lot of ways you can contact the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, you can always text us throughout the program anytime you want at the number 2KROQ. That's 25767. We've got the Kevin and Bean Twitter account. We've got the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. We've got the Instagram. You can always email us old school. And I think we'll take a look at a couple of those letters because we've got a lot of feedback on a lot of topics over the show over the last couple of weeks or so. Do we have some music for this segment, by the way? There we go. We were talking on the program yesterday about Beer Mug's realization that he has been living his life all wrong. And there's things that he has been doing or not knowing his entire life that would have made his life a lot easier.
Couldn't he have listed 30 things, though, really?
I think he could have. All right. We got a tremendous amount of reaction from both things. Allie, what was your feeling on the people who were blown away by Beer Mug's realization about the toilet paper cover?
He was not alone.
A lot of people, right?
So many people, overwhelming amount of people, thought that you put the flap in the back, not in the front, to protect your junk.
But let me just say, what we're saying here, in effect, is that Beer Mug is a teacher. He's teaching
Absolutely.
Us things.
Yeah.
Do we want to live in that kind of world?
Do we want to put that out there? Let's reconsider.
He also brought up something else that he didn't know until very recently, and this guy, Randy, wrote in and said, first of all, CNET has a running segment called You're Doing It Wrong, where they explore the same types of topics you guys are talking about right now. So when you guys first brought this up this morning and asked if we had anything that fit the description to call in, I thought, nope, I can't think of anything. I think I'm pretty clued in on the way the world works. And then Beer Mug comes up with this rental car gas situation, and I could totally relate. It has always bugged me, and I've been in the situation many, many times. In fact, I've thought in the past, why couldn't they just put something inside the car to tell us which side to put gas in outside the car? I'm a car guy. I've owned 24 cars in my life, but I had never seen the little arrow that you speak of. Now I have to go outside and see if it's for real. Randy. And we did hear from a lot of people yesterday who said the exact same thing, which is, oh, my God, that's been on my dash this whole time to tell me which side to put the gas on. How many people did we hear from who always pull up to the wrong side and then have to get out and move their car when they buy gas?
I'm going to say again, the answer to that is none, because we don't want to live in a world where Beer Mug teaches things.
But in reality,
a lot of people.
Yeah.
I do feel like we were educational and entertaining yesterday. And that very rarely happens. We also did the phone topic of irrational fears, things that you know aren't going to happen to you, yet you cannot stop yourself. Dear Kevin and Bean, Natalie writes in, I have an irrational fear that when I walk over sidewalk grates, I will fall through because the grate will snap in half as I fall, and then it impales me. I know it's ridiculous. I know it's not a real thing. I have no idea where it came from, but in the end, I still walk over the grates to try and prove to myself so it won't happen so I can just get used to it, but I'm still afraid it will happen.
So that guy goes right after them and steps on them on purpose to get over the fear?
to try to get over the fear.
Nice.
And so far, it is not working. She is still afraid of it. Dear Kevin, Bean and Allie, longtime listener for 10-plus years. I moved to Chicago, but I still listen to you guys every morning via the podcast. We appreciate that very much, by the way. My rational fear that most likely is never going to happen is a snake coming up from out of my toilet.
Yeah.
I think about it every single time I sit on the toilet, especially if I'm sitting there for too long. It really didn't help when I listened to your show today.
Yeah.
And you talked about a 5-foot Colombian rainbow constrictor that came up through a toilet in San Diego, which is where I was visiting at the time. Thanks for all the free funny, Ariana.
By the way, that is one of my fears as well.
I hear you.
And there are too many of those stories to get over.
Yeah.
Yeah, right when you get to the point where you're comfortable saying snakes are never going to come up out of the plumbing.
That's stupid. Don't be stupid. Just sit down. Don't be an idiot.
It is right about the time where it happens again.
Yeah.
Dear Kevin and Bean, talking about unusual things that people collect. This one comes from Jonah. I also collect my finger and toenail clipping.
Oh, Jonah.
Remember we had a guest on, the executive producer of Hellevator, who collected as a kid, he collected his, it was his fingernail clippings in a box that he mm-hmm. saved, right? And lies to his wife about throwing out.
Yeah, and saved I some started, of his mother's.
His mother's?
Yeah.
That was so much creepier even.
I started 3 years ago, and I am still at it. I don't know why people think it's gross. I never touched the nails themselves except to put them in my collection jar. I wanted to start collecting over a decade ago when I got the idea from the Nickelodeon TV show Ah, Real Monsters. who's patterning their life after a Nickelodeon show? I also have a collection of my own teeth. Baby teeth and wisdom teeth that I've lost throughout the years. I love the show Oddities because of the collections of articulated bones that are frequently featured, and even Victorian hair jewelry. I would collect my own hair and skin that I peel off my lip, but I'd like to stay married.
What is happening?
It is getting creepy, isn't it? My husband tolerates the jar of nails and has made it clear that he's not into it. Some people collect coins, but nobody in the world has a collection of my personal nails but me. I love teeth jewelry, too. You should definitely Google that. Love you guys. Fire beer mug, Jonah.
Why are people keeping body parts?
Well, it does seem like there are some things that are sloughed off that you expel from the body.
Right.
That you don't necessarily need
to. Then you don't need to keep those.
Right.
Let those go.
Couple more real fast. Bean, after hearing all your tweets regarding standards time, thanks for that, I can't call in for what's good, but I thought you might appreciate this. I can't effing stand when people refer to the biggest cities in the world as towns. You ever heard of this distinction before?
No, I've not.
Dave Chappelle did it in Half Baked, and I allowed it, but only in retrospect because he's Dave Chappelle. Leonard Bernstein used it when he wrote New York, New York for the musical On the Town, and that seems generally accepted, but I have no idea why. Regular old Joe Blow walks around confidently getting away with calling cities like New York and Los Angeles towns all the time, and no one seems to care, despite the fact that each city has massive infrastructure and populations. I don't know how arrogant you have to be to call arguably the most famous metropolis in the world, New York, an effing town. Would they dare attempt this with a city like Tokyo? I don't even think a city with over 1 million residents should ever be referred to as a town.
What's the line? Is it a million?
What's the distinction?
Where does the guy draw the line?
If you want to live somewhere and walk around calling your place of residence a town, then move the F to Barstow, California or Conroy, Texas. Otherwise, shut the hell up. Thanks for the info, being Matt. So,
Thanks for that info, Matt.
Matt. That's, you know, a lot of people have a lot of complaints about things in the language. That's the first time we've ever heard that one.
Yeah.
And finally, dear Kevin and Bean, hello. I've been a listener since the late 90s. I used to listen when I was in the car stuck in traffic, but at the beginning of this year, I moved to Las Vegas, and now I've become a regular podcast listener. I am fairly familiar with most of your insider deep cut jokes, but I have to ask, who the F is Steve? I was going to let it go by, but on today's show, you mentioned how Steve has really been on it lately when you throw it to him. It was like you were tempting me to take the 2 minutes out of my life that I will never get back to write this email. Sincerely, Ahmed. Ahmed, I appreciate you calling. We're out of time now to tell you, but keep listening because we will break that down for you very soon here on a Kevin and Bean Show. Remember, you can always write to any of us on the email if you like. It's Kevin at KROQ.com or King of Mexico or Beer Mug or Allie or Bean, whoever you want to. And thanks for checking in with the Kevin and Bean Show. And Kevin, you're the head of the Scottish News Bureau here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Strange story. They were having a bake sale for an orphanage. Mm-hmm. And by they, it's the, Glasgow City Council mm-hmm. in Scotland. And they're having a bake sale. They're just trying to raise a little money. How much money can you raise with a bake sale? Right?
It's for the kids. Right, any money's good.
Agreed.
Yeah, you buy a cake and the proceeds go to a Romanian orphanage. Seems like a great cause. What could go wrong?
Well, They found in one of the cakes that they came across, they found a dildo.
I'm sorry?
Well, somebody...
somebody has a secret ingredient?
Somebody had taken a dildo and put it in the cake.
Like rammed it right into the cake?
That is the word that the article uses, yes.
Okay, all right.
Rammed it into the cake, and then they thought, well, you know, what could be wrong with all the others? And they pretty much canceled the bake sale.
You ram one dildo into a cake, you
right?
cancel the bake sale?
That's my
How
point.
How many times have I heard that?
Have some guts.
Well, I mean, I guess they understand if they find a sex toy in one cake, they're concerned about what might be inside the other cakes that they don't know about. So I guess it sort of makes sense. But who would do such a thing and why? Is somebody just joking around?
Oh, I would imagine.
Or was somebody intentionally trying to sabotage the charity raising effort?
I don't know anybody
Someone
could be
hates
that
Romanian
angry.
Orphans.
I don't know that they could be that
hate
angry.
Romanian orphans. Well, clearly, as always, we have many questions about this story. Just the barest of details are available to us here. So we thought, let's go to the man on the ground. He is with the Glasgow City Council, and his name is Laird McLeish. He joins us on the Kevin Abeen Show right now. Hi, Mr. McLeish. Welcome to the show, sir.
Ah, it's a pleasure to be talking to you. Thank you for having me on your radio show.
Certainly. So you're a member of the city council. Were you there on the day, I guess it was last Friday, of this now infamous bake sale?
Ah, sadly, I was there. Mm-hmm. I was there to witness all the carnage. Mm-hmm. It was a disaster. There we were, just trying to raise some money for some wee Romanian orphans. And the next thing you know, you're biting into a dildo.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants to take a delicious bite of soft, moist chocolate cake and come up with a mouthful of dildo.
It's a little unfortunate that it was a chocolate cake, isn't it?
It's a little unfortunate. It's a running disaster, it is.
It's a disaster.
You're going in to have a sweet, sweet taste of cake. You take your first mouthful.
Right.
And then suddenly there it is.
Yeah.
A huge latex penis dangling from your lip.
Right. Nobody wants that.
No one be wanting that.
So when the sex toy was discovered, it was just
pandemonium? It wasn't discovered. It was in poor Darlene McIntosh's face.
Oh, no.
And then, of course, all the camera phones had to come out.
Sure,
oh, no.
Yeah.
How's Darlene going to live that moment down, I ask you?
No, that's a tough way to go.
Well, she's not dead.
I just need you.
That's true.
A tough way to go. She didn't choke on the dildo.
Well, yeah, wow. Who knows? She could have.
But I'm telling you, she
didn't.
Okay,
she didn't. All right.
Stop making up your own sordid stories as if this isn't bad enough.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Now you've got poor Darlene dying and choking on a giant dong.
No, right,
don't want
we were just asking. We didn't want that to be true.
You were making assumptions.
No, I was saying we don't want that to be true.
You're as bad as the bastard who put that dildo in that chocolate cake.
I don't think we are.
And all the other cakes had to be put in a bin. They had to be destroyed. Yeah. Who knows what else was lurking there inside those cakes?
Yeah,
What could have been indeed?
Let's not.
What could have been,
into a
Laird?
Cupcake, and then suddenly, oh, what's this? Oh, it's a French tickler in my mouth. Or perhaps you take a nice bite of a scone, and you end up with a pair of Ben Wobbles.
Really going for it.
Who knows what could have happened if the cakes had continued to be
right?
eaten?
What else could have been in there, Laird?
Let's not...
It would have been a disastrous sex shop in your mouth. Next thing you know, you're spitting out condoms.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst bake sale ever.
Look, we're all adults working here, right? Why?
No, apparently
why
not.
Why does this happen? Why do memos like this need to go out to
why
the staff?
Why does evil exist in the world, Bean? Well, that's the question you have to ask yourself. Why? What's up with man's inhumanity to man? That's the question.
That is that's questions that's been around as long as man has been around. Now,
right.
Kevin, when you got this this company-wide email a couple of days ago,
mm-hmm.
tell me the truth. You thought it was a forwarded joke? You didn't even think it was real?
Yeah, why would somebody write this for real?
Kevin thought it was a meme that someone got off the internet and said, oh, well, this was posted someplace in Boise, Idaho. Aren't these people crazy?
Look at this. Aren't they nuts?
No, it's our company. This came from our company.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
It is for reals.
You want to read it? You want to read it, Ralph? You want to have the pleasure of reading
it? I'd love to. Thank you so much. You know,
there's a certain amount of anger that
I haven't been as excited about anything in a long time as I have this email. So I am honored that you would ask me. This is an actual email that was company-wide sent to everyone who works for this particular company. All right?
Yeah.
All employees. Dear Meatloaf Thief.
See, right there, I was like, this is awesome.
At some point today, someone we work with took another employee's lunch out of a community fridge, had a few bites, and then had the audacity, all caps, to dump the rest of it in the sink with the fork sticking out of it. Oof. So not only do we have a thief among us, but a rude one at that.
This is real!
In comparison with all of the nice thieves.
Do not take, all caps, what doesn't belong to you. That is stealing. Whether it be a wallet, a phone, or a slice of meatloaf.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
Taking what is not yours will get you a one-way ticket out of this company. Forever.
See, so this can't possibly be true.
No.
Your livelihood for a bite of something you didn't even like? Lame.
Okay. So, all right, but let me just clarify again. If they liked it, it wouldn't have been so bad.
If they'd eaten the evidence,
no problem.
It wouldn't have been a problem. But the fact that it was sitting there, meatloaf with a fork in it in the sink,
It was pretty aggressive.
It's anarchy.
Yeah.
It also sounds like, by the way, it might be, if depending on how great the meatloaf is, it might be worth giving up your livelihood for. But not for a bite of something you don't even like.
It's like a serial killer who leaves trophies behind for the police to find, you know?
Very Hannibal.
Like a head on a post or something.
Yeah, it's Hannibal.
Oh,
sure.
So evil.
It's Meatloaf Hannibal.
Do you think that Meatloaf Hannibal intentionally, like, as a warning to the other coworkers, as some sort of statement, do you think he knew what he or she was doing and left that meatloaf in the sink?
Yeah. That was a message.
As a message?
Oh, whatever you're eating, it can be mine.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Said
no attempt
meatloaf
to cover
Hannibal.
It up at all, to throw it out, nothing.
Nope.
No, because I'd do anything for lunch, but I won't do that.
Nope.
Oh. See, we were all having a good time.
Well, wasn't that fun right up until right then?
We were all having
meatloaf.
A good time.
Yeah.
File.
Okay.
The email continues. There's a Ralph's across the street.
Done? No,
oh, no. There's a Ralph's across the street. Go get their nasty meatloaf.
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
I knew you'd go. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf!
Why?
We want it now! The meatloaf!
Why does the person who wrote this want to hate on Ralph's meatloaf?
First of all, I've had Ralph's meatloaf, and it's quite acceptable.
Not to this person.
No, apparently their meatloaf is so spectacular. Meatloaf Hannibal is stealing it and then leaving the corpse in the sink for all people to see as they walk by in the community fridge.
Oh, this God. Person that's writing this was how many seconds from destruction?
Oh, this person is furious. This person is barely able to see what she's
like
typing.
10
she's so
more
angry.
Seconds, she explodes.
You ready for you want chapter
there's
two?
More!
Yes.
There's more.
There's a second chapter. There's a new subject head in the same email.
Okay.
Now, let me ask before you go on, Ralph, you seem to really be amused by this
email. I am relishing this. Are you kidding me?
And my question to you is, do you think that the email should not have been sent out at all? Or do you think it should have been sent out and should be much more reserved? Is your problem that she seems overly concerned with the meatloaf issue?
What do you think? As someone, Bean, who...
Bean's having trouble reading this one.
I think maybe because Bean is also the guy who gets passionate about the smallest of details, that perhaps he feels sympathetic towards the author of this email.
Well,
but I think a more appropriate email would have been, "Hey, lunches have been taken from the community fridge here at the office. Please refrain from doing that."
So you think there's too much anger?
HR.
This anger is not relative to the offense, is what you're
saying.
That's
what I'm saying.
A one-way ticket out of the company, period, forever, period. You think maybe too much?
Maybe a little bit.
Strong. All right, let's hear part two.
New subject line: bathrooms.
Oh no, they're taking on bathrooms.
This isn't also going to involve meatloaf, is it?
I think they're related. I didn't realize we employed children here at CBS Radio.
That... Oh, that's your mistake.
Yeah, really.
Come on.
You ever seen one of our Christmas parties?
What is wrong with him?
That could be the only explanation as to why it's so difficult to find a flushed toilet in this joint.
Joint? The joint now.
Or why we have to wade through a sea of crumpled up used towels to reach these nasty stalls.
I wonder if the nasty meatloaf ends up in the nasty stalls.
What kind of all hell is breaking loose? Ugh.
Flush your toilets and throw your garbage in the garbage, all caps. As my dad likes to say, what are we, barbarians? Apparently, really gross ones.
We are watching a coworker have a nervous breakdown, you guys. And I don't know who to turn HR into, but somebody needs to... Somebody needs to help HR.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
By the way, Weezer, you know, they've released two new songs in the last couple of weeks or so. Does not have a record deal. Shopping around, hoping somebody will sign them.
Isn't that
bizarre? Wouldn't you think they'd be knocking down the doors to get a great band like Weezer?
Of course. With a hardcore fan base like they have too?
Yeah.
You're guaranteed X number of sales no matter what you release.
But aren't a lot of bands trying to be like a little more picky? Like, they don't have to take a record deal.
They could probably self-produce and just release their music online and make more money. They wouldn't have to share it with the man.
Interesting to see what's going on with them right now, though. These new songs, I mean, they're not even really technically working on an album. They're just getting together when they feel like it, making music just, you know, kind of for fun and seeing what happens next. So, anyway, good stuff. You're listening to Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. We want you to be part of the show today with a feature we call What's Good. That's where you call us on any topic right now. Pick up the phone, 1-800-520-1067. I know you're listening right now and you're thinking, I've always wanted to tell Kevin and Bean blank, or I've always wanted to yell at Kevin and Bean about this or that, or ask a question. This is your chance to do it. Kevin Bean's What's Good up next. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after Ralph takes a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Perhaps someone ate your meatloaf and you'd like to get that off your chest. You'd like to get that anger off your chest.
Although the guy called...
Not a euphemism, by the way, if people are just tuning in.
That's right.
The guy that called yesterday and was saying that the Star Wars... Which one?
Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace was
the best of all.
The best of all? You don't call, sir.
You're never welcome.
Sorry. Anyone else?
Thumbs You're up. On the no-fly list. Sorry about that. Skipper. What are your heads up? Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I return to the Hollywood Improv with Hollywood Babylon. It's much like the showbiz beat, only involves a heavy dose of alcohol and marijuana. For us, not for you. But we get on stage loaded. I mean, you could too.
Ralph. Bring enough for the class.
Maybe we'll have some baked goods or something. I don't know. But we have a good time. If you'd like to see it, come on out and catch us. It is tomorrow night. And go to improv.com to get your tickets and come see me and Kevin Smith.
No!
that He's not.
No.
That fella won't be there.
Hey, you stay up that late? I dare you.
Rodney's daring you
to
come out to the show.
It's on.
If that helps or not. I teased at the end of the last show, Bizby, that we're going to talk about who is the most successful female musical artist of the year. Forbes magazine has released its latest ranking. That's all they seem to do anymore, Forbes magazine.
Yeah.
It used to be a very highly regarded business publication, and now it's basically a list of rich people. This year, they have released a list of the biggest money-making female musical artists. This is how much money they made over the past 12 months.
Tracy Chapman.
Yeah.
Just outside the top 10.
Oh, sure
I
had it.
I'm sorry about that.
I have a serious guess, though. I think it's Madonna.
You know what?
She charges so much for touring.
That's an excellent guess, but she did not crack the top 10 this year.
All right.
Bean, go ahead.
You know
I'm going to have to recuse myself on this one.
You've seen the list.
I did see this one.
Of course he did.
I'll do Bean's guess. Taylor Swift.
Well, that's why he saw it, because I'm sure he's got some creepy alert that just sends it right to his pants whenever her name is on the internet. But luckily, there is still a Jesus.
Oh, great.
Wow. Luckily, God is still in the heavens, and she was not number one this year.
Wow.
So that.
Oh.
Yes, the young man with his arm raised on the radio.
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry, number one, Kevin.
Nice.
Thank you. Katy Perry.
Yay!
With her endorsement deals with CoverGirl, Coty, other beauty products, not to mention her prismatic tour, raked in, over the past 12 months, $135 million.
That must kill Taylor.
In just that
year, the past
year. 1 year.
That's her earnings for the year. $135 million.
Wow.
Evil succubus Tadoff Switler was a distant second on the list with $80 million.
Loser.
She only made $80. Chump change.
Why did she bother even getting up in the morning?
Chump change. Now, even this is kind of a cheat, I think. Because they've got third on the list, Fleetwood Mac.
What?
Because they have women in the band?
Two of the five members of the band are women. So they put them on the list, which I think is kind of a cheat.
Well, yeah. It seems weird, okay.
But regardless, the band took in $60 million this year. Fleetwood Mac, in this day and age, made $60 million.
Some of it was my money.
Really?
Yeah, the Forum, are you kidding me? Oh.
Are you kidding
are
me?
Are you kidding me?
Are
they were
you kidding me?
Sold out shows, like four of them. People went.
That petered out.
Guys, Ali is trying to tell us that Fleetwood Mac's popular.
Yeah.
Really?
Look. I've always said old hippies have a lot of expendable income. So what are they going to do? What are they going to spend it on? Falafel? What do they got? They got to get tickets.
They only eat so much falafel.
Mac. That's right. And the remaining two crippled members of the Grateful Dead. Those are the only two people they can really spend money on anymore. Lady Gaga, fourth.
Sure.
$59 million. Beyonce rounded out the top five with $55 million.
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus, not in the top ten, Kevin. She really didn't do much this year other than take her top off and stick her tongue out.
Well, that's what she's done for the last 5 years.
I know, but she's usually touring and things like that. Okay. I don't think she had a tour this year.
Right.
Sixth was Britney Spears. That sit down in Vegas.
In Vegas, sure.
It's a big payday. $31 million. Jennifer Lopez, $28.5 million.
That was the shocker for me.
Did she tour this year?
Not that I knew
Didn't
of.
Didn't she make a lot of that?
Must be American Idol.
American
money.
Idol?
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of it. Miranda Lambert, $28.5 million. How much of that is Blake Shelton's? I don't know. But Mariah Carey, ninth, with $27 million. And then Rihanna with $26 million.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
What happened to Amy Winehouse indeed? I don't think she earned... Well, she actually learned a lot of money this year, to tell you the truth. This is an interesting little tidbit. Years ago, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, I came up with what I thought perhaps was my crowning achievement in my time spent on this show. I came up with an idea for a game that I like to call Clucking the Hits, where I would take popular songs of the day and I would cluck them a la a chicken, a barnyard chicken.
I believe we've forgotten about that game.
Well, it was derided, was what happened. It was loudly shouted down. It was mocked.
Laughed off the radio.
It was laughed at. It was fingers were pointed.
But how many times did we try it?
Once.
So were we quitters?
Yes.
Oh.
I saw the magic of it. I had vision, and the rest of the show was wearing bifocals. I thought it was pretty magical. And apparently, someone else did as well. Because on the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show last night, Alanis Morissette dropped by. And Jimmy decided to, of course, insert himself into her performance.
Like he does.
And he and Alanis Morissette and Meghan Trainor all dressed up like chickens and proceeded to perform Alanis Morissette's classic hit, Isn't It Ironic, as chickens. This was on national television.
Why?
Because it's magical, that's why. Here's a little taste.
You are making this up.
Nope. That happened.
You're just ahead of your time, Ralph.
Really?
I watched it, and I would like to say you guys were right and I was wrong. I don't know what I was thinking. That was awful.
Terrible then, terrible now.
Terrible then, terrible now.
But we do need to bring back Spoon Man.
Spoon Man.
I used to play songs on a plastic spoon.
I would put a plastic spoon to my mouth and tap out the songs on the plastic spoon.
You do that again.
Look, you gotta. Sometimes if you're swinging for the fences,
correct,
you're going to strike out, right? So clucking for the hits may not have been my crowning achievement after all. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ryan Adams is 41 years old today. Sam Rockwell, one of my favorite actors, 47 years old. Seth Gilliam, Father Gabriel on Walking Dead, 47 years old as well. Famke Janssen celebrates her 51st birthday. The enigmatic Tilda Swinton.
Enigmatic.
Enigmatic. She's a mystery. She's a conundrum wrapped in a riddle.
Hmm.
Is she man? Is she woman? No one knows.
Well, she's a woman.
Yeah, what? Someone knows. But it's not
Ellie's guessing.
Readily apparent.
Correct.
And she's a chameleon. She becomes her characters. 55 years old today. Singer Ryan Adams also celebrates his birthday today at 56. Robert Patrick's 57. And evil succubus momager Chris Jenner is 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Later this hour, we'll catch up with our old friend, Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton.
That's right. That's what I meant to say. Will Wheaton will be here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
About a half hour ago, we were reading an internal company email from the Human Resources Department where it sounded like the poor lady writing the email was going to have a nervous breakdown because somebody had been stealing food out of the office fridge. And apparently it is a problem that is persisting across offices all over the land. And we'll start with Brian. He's in Simi Valley. He's on line one. He's gone through a similar thing. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? What's good?
What's good?
What's good indeed? Or in your case, what's not good?
Yeah, not really that good. It was good on my part because it wasn't my lunch. So
what happened?
So at my work, there was a rumor floating around that somebody's lunch was stolen out of the fridge, out of the community fridge. At first, it was just a rumor, and then it actually happened again the second time. And after the second time the person's lunch got stolen, he went straight to the president of the company. And
the president of the company said, are you talking to me about lunch?
Yeah. It was funny because the president actually was pretty pissed off about it.
What if it was the president?
Right, because he got caught.
What if it was him?
That's right, man. He thought he could get away with it. Just
right?
One of the joints.
But look, I know that we were all kind of making fun because the email was a little over the top, perhaps, in its anger. But what kind of animal steals somebody's lunch from the fridge? Like, you should be able to trust your coworkers to not steal your stuff? I mean, for reals, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in our department, we actually have a mini fridge just for our lunches. So
you have to do that.
We don't have to throw it in the community fridge.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you got to lock. We have a lock on our fridge at the Kevin and Bean office. Not a joke. We have a lock on it. Brian, we got to go, but did they ever catch the person who did it?
They did not, but they left. The person that did it left money in the fridge saying sorry and put like $10 in there.
All right.
And then someone stole that.
And someone stole that.
I hope so.
And that was the president of the company.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's do one more on that topic real quick. In Palmdale, let's go to Steven. He's on line four. He had a similar situation, but they handled it completely differently. Hey, Steven.
What's good, baby?
What's good?
Hey, so we know who does it, and one time me and a couple coworkers, we opened up a Gatorade bottle without, like, cracking the seal, and we put a bunch of X-Lax in there.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And they drank it, and they were gone for days. Another time, my brother was telling me, even before that, he's been working at the company from before I got there, they put dog food in a sandwich. The person ate it.
You're straight up lunch terrorists.
Yep, really are.
Yeah.
All right, see, this is why you don't steal food. It's because it gets ugly when you start getting into retaliation. Oh. It can be very bad. All right, thank you for the call, sir. Hey, we got a bunch of Star Wars calls. Allie, get ready. Line seven is going to be Michael. He's in Sylmar. He's up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Michael, thanks for calling. What's good?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
All right, so it has been announced, or just has been, people are barely finding out that you will no longer be able to see sketches or images of Slave Leia. Because Disney owns Star Wars now,
right?
That image is gone. Marvel has even come out to say that for their comic books, they can't even draw her in a sexy pose. So it's
I don't know how to even react to that.
Yeah,
so what about the very popular Slave Leia Halloween costume? Is that something, for instance, that's not going to be made anymore? Because they're trying to distance themselves from that part of the story?
I don't know about that. I could probably say that it'll probably still be around because you know, such an iconic thing. But yeah. I don't think, you know, Disney themselves will be like, we're going to promote this. You know?
Is it because of the word slave or because of the costume is a bit revealing, which it isn't. It's basically a bikini with a skirt.
Yeah, I don't think it's too revealing. I think it's the whole slave thing, right?
Really?
I think, right?
But I mean, it's just, it's part of the story. I mean, she was captured. You know, she was captured and held as a slave until she was rescued. I mean, that's just part of the story.
But it's a true story. So these people are upset.
Yes. It's a true story.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not. Daddy, no likey. But thank you for the call, Michael.
Oh,
we appreciate that.
Now
never
I
say that
do
again.
Like it.
Just never,
right.
Ever say
Let's
that
Let's go to
again.
Star Wars call number two in Glendale. This is going to be Arthur. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Arthur, thanks for calling. What's good?
What's good?
You tell us.
So I was browsing Reddit the other day, and I stumbled upon a fanboy Star Wars theory that pretty much says that Jar Jar Binks was the Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that theory?
The Jar Jar Binks was a Sith Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. That Palpatine was his puppet, and that he was using this whole, oh, I'm a goof kind of blinder and tricking everyone when he actually had Jedi powers.
I love that people now are coming to Jar Jar's defense. Like, let's make him someone that we can actually accept now. No, let's not.
All these people, didn't all of these people hate
they
him?
They hated him so much. All I'm saying is, right now, the movie comes out in a month. Let's just hold off on any conspiracy theories. Who's Kylo Ren? Oh, shut up. Let it go.
What if...
No.
Jar Jar comes back...
Nope.
December 18th, as a Sith Lord.
Then you owe Arthur an apology, Allie.
I don't blame you for reading the incredibly long Reddit post that was like 28 pages. But
yeah,
you can't possibly believe it's even an option.
Do you think it, Arthur, or are you just telling us other people think it?
You know what? At first, when I read the headline, I didn't believe it. And then I read this guy's analysis, and I mean, you can't help but somewhat believe some of it. It makes sense.
He has some good points, and he details everything, but...
And I like the fact that, you know, the backlash against Jar Jar Binks was so bad that they went with Count Dooku instead, and the whole backstory to Dooku was so weak that it kind of makes sense that they just kind of put him together last minute.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Look, it's possible. I mean, I think Star Wars was shocked at how poorly received Jar Jar Binks was. I mean, think about all the people who had to say yes to that making it to the screen, and then for them all to be so wrong.
There was one of them. His name is George Lucas.
Thank you for the call, Arthur. We appreciate that. I know we're out of time, but just one more real fast because we got to talk to Ivan. He's in L.A. He's on line three. He's our final What's Good call for the day, but thank you to everybody for dialing in. Ivan, we were talking earlier about a guy in California, Napa Valley, who went to the doctor and was told he had 30 minutes to live because he had a tapeworm in his brain. That just happened this week. Not an urban legend. You're calling to say what?
Okay, so just want to say I've been listening to you guys for 17 years. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, Ivan.
The 23rd, I was here at work. I was giving one of my employees his appraisal. I had a quick headache, got dizzy. Then I woke up like about an hour later at the emergency room.
Oh, my God.
It turned out I had a seizure. I stayed there overnight, you know, waiting the results. I've never had a seizure before in my life. I've never even been hospitalized.
Right.
Turns out they said I have something. I'm not too familiar with the word, series psychosis. Turns out it's a bunch of larvae lodged inside my skull.
You have tapeworm in your skull as well?
Yeah, it's larvae. And they said pretty much... they put me on seizure medication. They didn't have a neurologist there at that hospital. This was sent to another hospital. They told me I needed to see a neurologist as soon as possible. They needed to call a DMV because I am no longer able to drive because I could have a seizure at any time.
Why are you on the phone with us right now and not a hospital making an appointment for surgery?
I've been trying to go to different hospitals. They recommended USC because they're the best, I guess, around with neurology and all that. They can't help me because I don't have insurance. And I try to apply for any kind of insurance, even payment plans. They say they pretty much won't help me because to them, I make too much money.
What?
Yeah, I work at a retailer. I work for AutoZone. I don't make that much money.
It doesn't matter how much money you make. This kind of thing can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and well, the thing is, I'll tell them, look, I'll work out any kind of payment plan, whatever. I just need to be seen. They said that as soon as they could see someone, I have to see a neurologist until February. So I pretty much have to keep looking around. Somebody else told me to try to UCLA, so now I have to wait till my next day off to go to UCLA.
Ivan, what are they telling you about what's going on with the larva in your brain? Well, like, what are they doing up there?
What they're saying is that it's pretty much just larva, and you get it from eating tapeworms. Maybe they said I must have gotten it from eating raw undercooked pork. So
like this story that we talked about earlier today, it was blocking the ability for that brain to get water. That's why that guy was going to die. Couldn't something like that happen to you any day?
Well, that's pretty much what caused the seizure.
Wow.
Oh my God.
All right. Hey, Ivan, I'm glad you called. Hold on. We want to get some information from you. Let's at least farm Ivan's information out to Dr. Mo and Dr. Drew and people like that we know and see if they've got any advice on any way to get around this.
Dr.
Phil, whoever it takes. Dr. Laura, whoever we can find. Yeah. So, Ivan, hang on. We want to get some information
from
you. And you keep in touch with us and let us know how it's going. Okay, buddy?
Kevin.
All right, Ivan. Thanks for calling. This has been What's Good? It's Christmas, you guys. I mean, practically, it's only 7 weeks away, something like that. People are talking
about.
Is that what it is now? We're down to 50 days. Oh, that's so great. People are talking about Christmas presents, and that means it's the time of year to talk about the Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog. We mentioned this yesterday on the program. It's been around for 59 years. They've been doing this with they do a thing for, they give some of the money to charity, but they do these crazy expensive gifts that you always wonder if anyone would ever buy. And there's one that's particularly interesting this time around in the catalog. There were three of them offered. One has already been sold, so two are still available. So maybe somebody listening is interested in spending $150,000 for a handmade Arch motorcycle and a ride experience with the man who helped design the motorcycle, actor Keanu Reeves.
Okay,
yes.
Now, I understood all of that right until you got to Keanu Reeves. He's a motorcycle builder?
Yeah, he is. He and his partner, Gard Hollinger, have had this Arch motorcycle company that has very high-end motorcycles. They're very well-respected. He's been doing it for years, and it's something that he's very serious about. This isn't just one of these celebrity things where you slap your name on. I mean, he is really, really invested in it. So $150,000, you get this motorcycle. You also get first-class airfare for two from anywhere in the U.S. to Los Angeles, private car service to and from the airport, three nights at a suite in Santa Monica Shutters on the beach, and then you get to ride the California coast with Keanu Reeves on motorcycles. How's that for a dream come true for a Keanu and motorcycle enthusiast? So we wanted to find out more about this amazing gift while it's still being offered for sale. We have our old friend Keanu back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Keanu Reeves.
Ah, Kevin Bean, how are you?
We're good, thank you.
We're doing great.
Excellent.
We were surprised to see your name in the Neiman Marcus catalog. How did this promotion come together?
Were you?
Yes.
What
yes.
was so surprising about it?
Well, I didn't know you built motorcycles, for one thing.
Ah.
Or designed them, you know.
Or do I?
Yeah, that's what the auction is, a motorcycle that you built.
Or is it?
Well, is
yes.
it?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Excellent.
So they came to you, like Neiman Marcus came to you and said, hey, how much would it cost to get you to ride the California coast with a fan?
Yes. I think it was Neiman who came to me. I believe Marcus was busy. And Neiman said, you like to build motorcycles?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes. And they said, we'd like to put one of your motorcycles in our catalog. And
right.
I was like, I doubt it will fit because a motorcycle's rather large and your catalog seemed to be small and made of paper.
Right.
Then they explained to me that instead they'd be taking a photograph of that magazine and they're putting it accompanied by some words. And putting it up for sale.
It's a catalog.
Right. It's in
their
catalog.
Yes, it is. Excellent. Catalog.
catalog indeed. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So a person gets the motorcycle, and they get the travel and the hotel accommodations. And then how do you envision this trip going? Again, you hitting the road and just riding along a perfect stranger all day. Like, what are you guys going to talk about? How are you going to spend your time? Are you worried that it might be some sort of creepy stalker fam? What are your thoughts, Keanu?
Well, the truth is, when you're riding a motorcycle, you don't talk to the other people much.
Yeah, I thought that.
Because it's very loud.
Because you're on separate motorcycles, too.
Yes, and you're wearing a helmet, which often covers your ears.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So I won't be doing much talking.
Right.
And really, the attraction is this custom motorcycle that I personally have made, the Arch Kurgut 1.
I think
it's K-R-G-T 1.
Yes, that spells Kurgut.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a word. I don't think you pronounce it. It's not a word. You just say the letters.
Or is it?
We're not. We thought you would know.
I don't. Mm. But this motorcycle, I made it personally, and it's awesome, if I say so myself.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Here, listen to this purr. Listen to this baby purr.
Sounds like you're having
trouble starting it.
Hold on 1 second. Minor adjustment.
Okay. Nope. This is a little embarrassing, Keanu. For a high-end bike.
I'd like someone with a tow truck to buy this package. Because I'm not... I have no business making motorcycles.
Okay, good.
16-12-1.
Hello?
Hello?
It's me.
Victor Fuentes.
I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet, to go over.
What?
Everything.
Yeah.
They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
What?
I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger.
I'm 19, homeboy.
And free.
Yeah.
I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference.
Hell no.
Between us and a million.
Hey, too much information and shit, man.
Hello from the other side.
No.
I must have called 1,000 times.
A couple.
To tell you I'm sorry.
All right, that's it. You don't gotta bring all that siren and shit. I'm like quiet and shit.
Hello.
Hello.
The Victor Fuentes remix. I like it. I like it. By the way, that is available for you to stream through all the Kevin Bean and K-Rock social media. We put it up yesterday. A lot of people were requesting that. You know, I was just thinking about over the weekend, Chip was telling us that she went to the Danny Elfman at the Hollywood Bowl. Mm-hmm. And it was the Nightmare Before Christmas. They're playing along and singing and everything like that. And then as the movie wound down and then the credits started coming up, Chip, you know, she left the Hollywood Bowl. Wanted to catch a shuttle so she'd get home. And she missed rock and roll history being made as Danny Elfman gets Oingo Boingo back together to perform Dead Man's Party live in front of a screaming standing ovation audience.
Wait, first time in 20 years.
So you were there.
Years
to the day.
You were at the Hollywood Bowl.
I may have made a wrong move.
And then when they were playing Dead Man's Party, you weren't there.
Not so much.
Okay.
No, exactly. She was getting my text, like, oh my God, is your mind blown?
Yeah.
So yeah. I thought it might be fun for you, Chip, to maybe talk to somebody who stayed around, was there in the audience watching the show, and find out what it was like, what it was that you missed since you weren't there. And that man is Will Wheaton, who joins us on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Will.
Good morning.
So it was a pretty magic moment when he strapped on that guitar, right?
So we were down in the garden boxes, and as he finishes with, so he had brought Paul Rubens and Catherine O'Hara on stage, and they did Kidnap the Sandy Claws, mm-hmm. which was, right. I was like, okay, that's amazing. It's not going to get better than this.
No way.
And then as he's leaving the stage, he starts to take off his jacket, and he's got a black T-shirt on underneath it. And I thought, oh, my God.
No, wait. Let me just stop you right there. Now, at that point, did you think I should go?
No. See, here's the thing. I didn't want to have to live the rest of my life knowing that I had made the worst choice I could possibly make.
Way to go, Chip.
Leave the concert. Which is to lead a Danny Elfman concert at the Hollywood Bowl before the lights come up.
Right, because how would you live with yourself at that point?
Right.
I don't know how I would be able to do it. I guess I would take some solace in knowing that no matter what I did for the rest of my life, I would never fail as badly as I did that night ever again.
It's all up from here, right?
Yeah, it's all up hill from here. Yeah, don't worry about that.
Here's my question, Will. When you saw him walk and get his electric guitar and come back, in your wildest dreams, did you think, oh, he's going to straight up oingo boingo us?
No, I didn't. I saw him come go off, and so before he came back with the guitar, three guys came out with these really great drums, and I just thought, no, there's no way. And the girl behind me goes, oh my God, we're all dressed up and we have nowhere to go. And I turned around. And I
was that girl Chip?
I was like, come on.
It wasn't Chip.
You can't say that. Don't say that, because like you can't set me up like that. And he comes out with the guitar, and you know, I was telling my wife after the concert, like, I understand, like, I screamed. I started to scream, and just tears fell out of my face.
I get it.
Because I was so excited. I couldn't believe it. You know, back in the old days, I never got to go to one of the Boingo Halloween shows.
Oh, really?
Wow. It's just one of the great regrets of my life that I never got to go to one of those shows. And I never thought I would ever get to see him do that. So when
That's
he came
wonderful.
Out to do that, I said to my wife after the concert, like, I understand why teenagers like cry at like a One Direction concert. Like,
yeah.
I understand that level of I cannot believe this is happening.
Well, and the other weird thing, and I just want to point this out because people are asking us about this. We've interviewed him many times. The other weird thing is he's not bitter.
Yeah, a month and a half ago, he said not going to happen.
But he just doesn't want to revisit that part of his life
ever.
Yeah, you know, I think. I mean, I don't. Not to compare myself to Danny Elfman, but I'm going to compare myself to Danny Elfman.
All right.
I did all the stuff with Star Trek when I was younger, and I love it, and I'm proud of it, and it's a big part of my life, but I'm in no hurry to go play that character again.
Right.
I've kind of done everything that I want to do. I'm doing other stuff that's more interesting to me. And, you know, if he feels the same way about the Boingo stuff, you know, if they ever did a reunion show, I don't care where it is in the world, I will go just because I want an opportunity to see that. But, you know, I think that if you've done something enough, you don't have to be bitter to just say, I feel like I've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, no, that makes a lot of sense.
You know, I think that's a completely legitimate way to feel about it.
But he did it again, and you were there.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that's the important thing.
He says, I might be a little rusty. The last time I did this was 20 years ago tonight. I mean, and that was when the whole place, you could tell, like, who was my age in that audience.
Right.
Just went
crazy.
Bananas.
Exactly. This is the voice of Will Wheaton here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He's got a lot going on, as he always does, including another appearance back in The Big Bang Theory tonight at 8 o'clock on CBS. Will is a recurring character, and your relationship with Sheldon has evolved to the point where now you guys are friends on the show, right?
Yeah, I started out as an antagonist to Sheldon, and that was really fun, and I really, really loved it. The Will Wheaton I played on The Big Bang Theory back then was kind of like just constantly trolling Sheldon.
Right.
and the Will Wheaton that I play now has evolved to be actually friendly with those guys. And, you know, what's interesting is that there is such a huge gray area between me, the person, and the character that I play on that show, because those characters are all people I would be friends with. I love all the things. I was a huge fan of The Big Bang Theory before they cast me, because I love all of those things. I love science and gaming and all, you know, every nerd thing in the world. I've loved that my whole life. So getting to play this character now, who is actually friends with them, it lets me bring a little more of my actual self into the character instead of completely, just playing a character.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Will, you were born in Burbank, correct?
I was.
You've been listening to K-Rock since you were an infant. Do you remember the first time?
I've been listening to K-Rock since K-Rock was in Pasadena.
Yeah. I was going to ask, because I know that I used to hear you on K-Rock in the 80s. Do you remember the first time you were on this radio station? Because you got to go back as far as anyone we ever talked to.
The very first time I was on air would either have been when Richard Blade was doing Afternoons before Jed the Fish.
Okay.
Wow. Or it, and that would have been in about 1987, or it would have been when Porn ended the morning show, which I think would have been 88.
That was the last time the morning show was good on K-Rock, by the way.
It's true.
Well, listen,
a lot of people say that.
They've been trying these guys. Look, they've been trying these guys out for a while.
These guys aren't going to make it, man.
Get there. You know, they're okay. I think the thing is they mean well.
They do mean well. That's true.
That's a great point.
They fail, but they mean well.
Exactly. Well,
do you guys
remember?
I don't know if you remember, but do you remember you came to my parents' house in La Crescenta for Celebrity Refrigerator and we played street hockey in front of my house?
I remember that.
It would have been like 89 or 90. Bean scored a goal on me. I was super bummed.
Well, you scored a goal on Cody LaChance?
I scored a goal on Will Wheaton. Are you kidding
me? Wow.
I don't remember that. I can't believe we used to do Celebrity Refrigerator, and I can't believe you remember that we were at your house.
Will, Bean scoring on you is your Chip leaving the Boingo show before he does that song. That's
like the worst moment of your life.
The worst moment of your life.
I'm not saying that's a thing that keeps me up at night, or that every time I'm at a Kings game and the goal light goes off, I flinch a little bit.
Right?
You know, there's just some things that you don't get over, you guys.
Yeah.
Well, it's been way too long since we talked to you on the show. I know it has been a long time, but if you're ever in the mood and you have time, we'd love to have you come in and spend some time in the studio. We can catch up on a lot of other stuff because it's always fun to talk to you, Will.
You know what? I would love that. Maybe if the Kings make the playoffs.
What do you mean, maybe?
We'll
it's happening,
and,
Will.
And nerd out about that.
It's happening.
Okay. Let's do that. And you're also on Powers, right?
I am. I leave the location next week.
All right.
Powers is on the PlayStation Network. I'm not allowed to say anything about the character that I'm playing.
What character do you play?
Well, let me tell you everything about him and also what the secret is. I am so excited to do this. It's going to be really, really great fun. It's a great show with a really great cast, and I'm really looking forward to it.
All right.
All right. Great great stuff. Will Wheaton on The Big Bang Theory tonight, 8 o'clock on CBS. Follow him on Twitter at WILW and WillWheaton.net. Will, let's do it again soon. Thanks for coming on, sir.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys.
And it is 7:54.
What a treat to be able to watch the Cleveland Browns on TV tonight, guys. That's going to be fun, right?
You mock. Table talk. Come on, Browns-Bengals. That's a pretty good game.
I know it's a classic rivalry, but aren't the Browns just the worst, Ralph?
They're pretty bad.
Isn't this a 28-7 game we're looking at tonight?
I think,
like so many Thursday night games?
I think like many long-standing rivalries in the NFL, you will be surprised at how good this game will be. Look, it happens all the time. You see all these divisional rivalries where one team is much better than the other, but for some reason, these teams, when it comes to these games, they show up to play.
No, I know. No, you're right. There's
Plus,
definitely
you got Manziel,
something
who's going to be running around like a madman. And
Johnny
you got,
Football, that's enough.
You got the ginger rifle back there. He's going to be throwing lights out. I think there's a lot of entertainment.
All I know is the Cardinals played the Browns and gave up 4 interceptions and still beat them handily.
And still won handily, yeah, exactly. All right, we'll talk more sports with our friend Jim Rome coming up just after 8. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's up?
This is fascinating to me that the two candidates who were running for Pennsylvania prosecutor in the most recent election both ran on a platform of, if elected, I will seek criminal charges against Bill Cosby.
Okay. Wow.
Because one of Cosby's alleged victims did file her complaint in 2005 in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, where Cosby has his palatial mansion. And the statute of limitations runs out in January on that case.
In this coming January?
Yes.
Oh.
So the newly elected prosecutor there in the state of Pennsylvania has announced that he is looking to file those charges and to bring Cosby up on charges before the statute of limitations runs out on the crime. It says in some ways this case has gotten stronger in the last 10 years, given the current atmosphere and also the release of his deposition in that case with Andrea Constand and the other mitigating factors. So it looks like he may be brought up in charges in the state of Pennsylvania for this alleged sexual assault.
There would
fantastic.
Be a lot of happy people if Dr. Cosby ended up behind bars.
Yeah. Or even just on trial. I'd like to see him face his victims in a court of law, if nothing else. But it just kills me in this day and age. Two guys who are running for state prosecutor's office in the state of Pennsylvania are not running on a platform of, I will clean up gangs, I will take down drug lords. If elected, I will go after Dr. Huxtable. Shows you what a public enemy.
And they're doing the right thing.
He's become. It's crazy.
My point is, okay, listen to me carefully.
All right.
I'm telling you where the road is out.
Yes.
I'm telling you where, as you're driving, you're going to go into water. Mm-hmm. Now, you want to go here, or you want to be concerned
right.
about
where's
who's
the water?
Giving you the message?
I forget where the water is now.
Can you imagine being a prosecutor in that case?
Can I just take Uber? Can I just take Uber wherever I'm going? Because I don't want to drive into the water.
Can you imagine trying to question Bill Cosby on the stand?
Well, what are your recollections of the events of that evening, Mr. Cosby?
Well, the sky is always darkest at nighttime when the sun is still shining.
Right, but this specific night.
On the other side of the earth, for some people, it's not even the nighttime with the day and the same with the horror and the missing.
It'd be pretty sweet if he ended up paying for this. Pretty sweet.
We talk about reality shows all the time. There's a brand new one. Queen Latifah and Jermaine Dupri will be hosting a new rap reality series called The Rap Game.
Mm.
Hollywood Reporter says the show will feature five tween and teenage rap artists competing against each other. The upcoming rap stars will include Miss Mulatto out of Atlanta, Georgia. Suppa Peach, also from Atlanta. These are all...
Nope.
Come on. 12 years old Suppa Peach?
Come on.
I think I'm in.
15-year-old Young Lyric. Little Nico from San Diego. And my favorite, I got all my money on Lil Poopy.
Oh, we remember Lil Poopy.
Lil Poopy.
12-year-old Lil Poopy from Brockton, Massachusetts, who's already done more than 200 videos that you can find online, by the way. So I am Team Poopy.
Same.
Going into this.
I believe I have some Little Poopy.
What?
If you guys would like to hear some.
Does not surprise me. I'd love to hear some.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about big things. Big wheels, big cars, and a big change. I'm only 8 years old. I'm doing big things. French Montana on my track. I'm it, mate.
Go Poopy. So I'm going to be saying from the audience.
From Barbershop Rap 2, music. All hail Queen Latifah.
That'll be the announcer.
That's sad news. Screenwriter Melissa Matheson has passed away. Nominated for an Oscar for Best Screenplay. For E.T. the Extraterrestrial that she wrote.
But no
she
also wrote, just that. She just
also,
wrote that.
Also wrote The Black Stallion.
Yeah.
The Escape Artist, which is another great film. The BFG, which is currently now in production, set for release in 2016. She was married to Harrison Ford from 1983 to 2004. They met on the set of Apocalypse Now back in the late 70s. They had a son and daughter together, Malcolm and Georgia. She was just 65 years old, so sad news to hear that she passed, but... what a body of work she leaves behind. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. A lot of confusion, a lot of vitriol in Twitter and emails. People are confused and upset.
Did Dave about give you bad information?
Saying
again?
That I'm a liar and I'm saying the wrong thing, and there's no way that Ryan Adams is 56 years old today, and just everyone just settle down. Ryan Adams is 41 years old today.
Okay.
But Ryan Adams. He is 56 years old today.
Okay.
They're different people.
They're very different people. I understand their names sound similar. Mm-hmm. And a lot of hardcore Ryan Adams fans are very upset with me saying, you said Ryan Adams is 56. He's not that old. But what I said is, Ryan Adams is 56. Ryan Adams is 41.
Okay.
Everyone can go about their day now. Sam Rockwell is 47. I always feel like See? Now you're adding to the confusion. You're adding to the confusion because that's Rockwell. But that's not Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell is a very talented actor. He is not Berry Gordy's son who recorded Somebody's Watching Me. Not that guy.
Are you sure?
Positive.
We're just going to have to
disagree
on that
one. Why are you trying to confuse everybody, right?
I'm not. I'm trying to battle the confusion. Sam Rockwell did not record Somebody's Watching Me. He's 47 years old today. Seth Gilliam, who was not in Monty Python's Flying Circus, by the way. He is Father Gabriel on Walking Dead. He is 47.
Yeah, he needs to go.
I think his character.
The actor or
the
character?
His character. My bad.
Famke Janssen, 51 years old today. Tilda Swinton is 55. Robert Patrick. He was the T-1000, I want to say.
I think that's right.
Also, of course, from Scorpion. Can be seen right now on CBS. 57 years old. And evil succubus Kris Jenner celebrates her 60th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show's beat.
Welcome to 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Thursday mornings, about this time every week, we talk to our good friend Jim Rome. He is the host of the Jim Rome Show, heard all across this Greek land of ours, including on AM 980 The Beast from 9 till noon. Hey, Jim. How are you, sir?
K-Rock fam. What's up, guys? Good morning.
It's good to talk to you. A lot of ground to cover, as always, this week in the wide world of sports. Kobe Bryant says he sucks. Is he right?
Who am I to argue with the Mamba? All right, so they're 0-4, and Kobe says he sucks. And, you know, things are not going very well right now. I'm a big Kobe guy, but if you have 5 fouls and 4 made shots in one game, more fouls than made shots, that pretty much is the definition of suck. So I'm not sure how it's going to end for him, but right now it is not going well. He's a 37-year-old guy. He has lots of miles. He's got some physical damage. I hate to say it because I love the guy, but right now he kind of sucks.
When the coach says, hey, you're mad at yourself, don't come to practice, that was the craziest thing I've ever heard. Why is Kobe not here? He's just really mad at himself.
Wow, what? Allie. Easy. Easy.
I mean, that's
you jumping in fast. You jumping in early, Allie.
That is a little odd.
Now, the guy, hey, look, you guys have never tried that? Go to your PD and say, hey, you know what? I'm really mad at myself. My show sucked yesterday. No. I think I'm not coming to work.
They would try never that. Be here.
I'm going to try it. The guy, he is a guy that rides himself and everybody around him really hard. He's not getting it done. I'm sure that Byron Scott said, clear your head. Trust me when I tell you one day off from work is not going to make everything right or fix what the problem is. But probably they didn't want him around that day, and he probably needed that day.
Jim, yeah. As a Laker fan, a lifelong Laker fan, I got to tell you, it angers me to no end to see them not play defense, though, because defense is just work. Any team can do it. You just have to work at it.
It's
and
so
the Lakers
true.
Suck at defense.
It is. It's effort. It's effort. I mean, there's technique involved for sure, but it's a mentality, and it's a want to, and it's a will, and they don't have it. See, the thing about them being 0-4, I knew they were not going to be good. But being 0-4 is one thing and not competing is another. I mean, not only are they losing to teams they should be able to handle, they are getting blown out. And worst of all, even though I expected them not to be very good, I thought with Kobe coming back and the young athletes they have, they'd at least be interesting. They'd be exciting, but they're not. They're boring.
Yeah.
They're boring and they're bad, and that's not a good combination, especially in this town.
On the other side of the ledger, of course, if you're a Clippers fan, you're enjoying the season very much so far. Although, still, they haven't figured out the magic formula to beat Golden State, and it looks like that's going to be a rivalry we will be keeping our eye on every week all season long. I think.
I love it. They hate each other. They hate each other, so it's good for the rest of us. And last night's game, if you saw it, that's as good as November NBA ever gets. But the loss was as gutting as it gets for the Clippers because they're better than they were last year. They hit Golden State with their best shot last night, and the problem is their best shot still is not good enough. And the bottom line is, if they really are championship or bust this season, if you're up 10 in the fourth quarter in the other guy's house, that's a game you have to win, especially if they're your rival and you hate them as much as they do. They had a chance to send a message, and they couldn't get it done. They have to finish that game.
Is it true, do you think that Steph Curry is actually better than last year?
Yes. Yes. I don't
That's
think there's any
insane.
Doubt.
That's insane.
I think he really is better. And see, the thing about Golden State, which is really scary, normally when you win it all, you come back and you're rocking a championship hangover, you're fat, you're happy. These guys aren't. I mean, they're motivated, they're angry, they're pissed. And if you want to ask why that is, I could give you any number of reasons. I think what Steph's upset about is Doc Rivers. They think that Doc Rivers said they got lucky. And then on top of that, you've got Steph Curry's peers who voted James Harden the player's MVP. So you know he's bent about that. They've just got a totally different attitude. Like their big man, Andrew Bogut, he wears his championship ring on his middle finger. That should tell you all you need to know about these guys.
They're like the Patriots of the NBA with how mad they are.
Allie, way to jump in there again. You're on it today, Allie. You're feeling it, Allie.
We've gone 4 minutes without mentioning the Patriots. I really had to say something.
Right?
All right, I have to ask you one more basketball thing before we move on to the NFL, and that is, what's this crazy story? I didn't pay very close attention to it yesterday, Jim, about the owner of the Golden State Warriors implying that he had sex with the O'Brien Trophy. What's that all about?
Allie, you want to handle that one?
I don't think it's true. He said him and his wife had a good time or something with the trophy. Come on.
He was just suggesting that the trophy was in the room while he and his wife made love, not that the trophy was part of the sex or there was some sort of crazy orgy or something.
I think trying to be funny and people took it like, oh, wow.
But you mean like the trophy was in the closet watching? Like some closet time? Baseball players used to do that stuff.
Wait, so Bean, you thought that the trophy was involved in an orgy?
That's what he made it seem like.
I'm asking Bean if that's what he really thought.
I don't know. That's why I'm going to the sports authority, Jim Rome, to find out what the real story is.
Don't bring that garbage around me. I don't know, guys. The trophy's pretty hot.
I'll leave it to the imagination, he said. We had a lot of fun with it. So I guess he's leaving it up for interpretation there.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I'd like to add to that, but I just won't.
Okay, let's talk NFL in our remaining moments. Colin Kaepernick, what went wrong with the boy this year? How did he lose his job? Why is he so awful? Is it his fault, or is he just surrounded by idiots?
Such a good question. I'm going to say yes. Yes. yes, it is his fault, and yes, he is surrounded by idiots. Hey, listen, this guy, he has regressed terribly. His confidence is shot. His teammates reportedly no longer believe in him. There was this rap that he kind of walks around the facility all day long under his cans, under his headphones, and that's just not a good look. It's not a good way to go if you're the face of the franchise, but it's not all his fault. I mean, they failed him in that they ripped his coach, they ripped his offense coordinator, they ripped a number of his weapons. They took away all these things this guy had to have. But when you get right down to it, losing your job is one thing, but losing it to Blaine Gabbert is another. Oh. This guy literally is one of the worst quarterbacks ever, literally, statistically. So he not only lost his job, he lost his job to Gabbert. I have never seen a team, I don't think, in any sport implode as quickly and completely as that team did. It's terrible.
Yeah, the 49ers, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. Weren't they in the NFC Championship game like 3 years in a row?
Like
up until
2 years
very
ago.
Recently.
Yeah. 2 years ago, they were in the conference championship game. 3 years ago, they were in the Super Bowl. So that's what I mean. I mean, you got to work pretty hard to get that bad that fast considering where they started.
So right. Congratulations, I guess, is what
exactly. Yeah. Congratulations are in order.
Good work.
Last question. Your
job
thoughts
well done.
On Thursday night football? Good game, bad game?
Good game. Every Thursday night game, they've got the rap that they normally are not good games, but any Thursday night game is a good game because it's free football. It's Thursday football. The only thing better than Thursday football is Wednesday football. I'm still waiting on that. But guys, Johnny Manziel is going to play.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel is the ultimate give me an A or give me an F guy. So I'm going to say to you, excellent thing tonight.
He's going to be on fire tonight.
No, I'm not promising that. Okay. I'm saying either he's going to be really good or really bad, and either way, we all win.
Either way, entertaining.
A or F.
All right.
Jim Rome Show.
Don't bring me a C.
Hi, AM 980 The Beast. Listen to him today. Thanks so much, Jim. We enjoyed it. We'll do it again next Thursday.
And stop talking about sexing up trophies.
Right.
Peace out.
Same.
Still to come, Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program with his weekly visit and a pair of Disneyland Resort Deluxe annual passes. That's all on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Do we need to save a marriage? Do we need to jump in and help a coworker here? What's going on?
Let's find out because Lightning, who was our producer for a long time, worked on the Kevin and Bean Show for a long time. Lightning,
hey,
welcome.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Good morning. I'm in Vegas, so I apologize. I'm a little rough. Yeah.
Oh, not a problem. What are you doing in Las Vegas, Light?
And with who?
It's the SEMA convention, so the world's largest automotive convention for the cars and the parts.
I love SEMA.
SEMA. This is completely different. Are you there to see how much bigger rims can get?
I think they've topped out. I think the 26 inches is kind of like the biggest you can go, because then the tires are just like rubber bands. They made 30s, but no one's rocking 30s. It's
30. So, I'll bet you are. I'll bet you have a car with 30s on it.
I don't. I've upgraded. I'm at 24s right now. So when you see the truck in the parking lot next coming Monday, it'll be rocking 24s.
Awesome about Lightning, two things about Lightning that are awesome. One is he refuses to drive a truck if it can fit into a standard parking garage. If it's small enough that it can drive into a parking garage, he didn't want to have any part of it. He only drives things that he has to park on the street. That's A.
Well, what's crazy and if I valet it, it's like they can't put it in the garage. So it's like Ferrari, Bentley, giant monster truck. It makes no sense, but it cracks me up.
And B, it's a miracle that the boy is still married. Is it true that you recently forgot your wedding anniversary?
Yes.
Light.
How many years was it, Light?
And here's the crazy part. Dave just told me, I'm like, how did you guys find out about it? He goes, I think you were drunk and you told Omar at the last guy's night out. And
yeah.
I said, I did what?
So you told him that you forgot your anniversary. Now, here's what people need to know about Lightning. He is go big or go home guy.
Right.
So he will take you to the top of a hotel with a helicopter and have you met there. I mean, it's insanity, some of the stuff he does. So when he forgets.
Yeah, there's a real hole in that young lady's life if there's no party being thrown or there's no camel ride happening or trip to the moon.
Camel ride.
Or whatever it is you set up.
Or a camel ride to the moon.
Lightning, how many years? What anniversary was this?
It was a 15-year anniversary.
Ooh, 15.
Yeah, kind of significant.
That's a little bit worse than 13 or 16. Okay, so how did you find out that you had forgotten?
So I got a call that says, hey, we're going to meet my mom over at this Japanese steakhouse. And I said, oh, cool. Sounds like fun. I'll see you at 7 o'clock. So it was Wednesday night, and I drove down and walk in. Like, it was no big deal. Sit down at the tapping table, and my kids are looking at me kind of strange. And I said, oh, cool. You guys already ordered? No, we just sat down.
Your kids always look at you kind of strange, though, right?
Well, that is true.
Okay.
My kids are way cooler than I am. And my two little boys and one, my younger one, who is 9, and he looks at me and says, did you forget something? And I said, no, I got, what was I bring? Was I supposed to bring something to dinner? He goes, Dad? I said, yes. Do you know what today is? No, it's, what's the date? He goes, look at your phone. And I go, what are you guys talking about? And pick up my phone. Yep, sure enough, October 10th. And I'm telling you guys, God's honest truth, my heart sunk. I'm sitting next to my wife, who I love to death.
Why are your kids publicly going, hey, Dad, did you forget something?
They always do that. Listen, the kids are like you guys. They love to publicly shame people. So,
sure. Okay. They couldn't have played it cool and, pulled you aside and said, hey, Dad, in case
heads
you
up.
Yeah. All right,
no,
so what's,
no.
what's going on your wife's face at this point? What's her reaction?
It's just one of those, it's just sad, and she's not crying or anything like that, but it's just sheer disappointment. It's just... I'm so dreadfully disappointed in you. It's such a simple thing to remember.
Yeah.
And I just I didn't have a card. I didn't have flowers. I had nothing.
Did you say happy anniversary?
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, I said, can I buy you a drink? I mean, there's nothing.
Wow. Because you were starting over.
There's nothing I could do. I mean, I could, in that split second, I thought, can I go to CVS and buy a card? How do I call and get a limo to, go to the beach? Like, what do I, there's nothing I can do. I'm sitting there. I'm just a tool. There's no way to get out of it.
Look, here's what you got to do. And by the way, we thought it would be fun to talk.
Bean's going to give advice now on this.
I am going to give advice. Here's what we're going to do. And we thought it'd be fun to talk to Lightning because we know that he's not the only one who's had this where you've forgotten a significant anniversary or a birthday or you're supposed to go on a trip or whatever it is you have forgotten that you had planned with a family member or significant other. We want to hear the fallout from that. We want to hear how you discovered it and what you had to do to make it up to that person. If you want to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your tales of woe. Here's the way I handle it, Light, is that at my house, every day is Valentine's Day, as you know. Every day is Donna's birthday. Every day is our anniversary. So when that actual day comes about, if I don't say anything or do anything, it doesn't matter because every day is like that.
You lying sack.
Yeah, that's
how it works at my house.
That's funny and all, Bean, but...
Let's go to Donna on line 8.
Oh, you know what? Not available. Sorry.
Asshole.
There she is.
Hey, how dare you? Speaking of making it up, so you survived that humiliating meal and probably couldn't even taste your food. What did you – what was the plan afterwards? Is it too late to make something like that up if it's not on the day?
Way too late. I tried, and I tried for the next couple of days. Hey, let's go to Vegas. Let's go. Let's plan a family vacation. I tried. There's no way to get out of it. It's just, better luck next year.
Sometimes you just suck ass, and then it just blows, and you can't get.
That's what happens.
Can't get around.
So, the good news is you're not going to have to worry about your 20th wedding anniversary, so it doesn't matter whether you were
16th
remembered or not.
Even 16th.
Hey, now.
All right, Light. Have fun in Las Vegas, man. Buy some rims. Thanks for coming on.
All right, you guys rule.
All right, thank
we'll
you.
See you later. 1-800-520-1067. What was the event, birthday, anniversary, whatever it was that you forgot? How did you find out about it? What was the fallout? What did you have to do to make it up? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Taking your calls right now. I think this may be the first time we've ever done this phone topic, by the way, where you forgot your significant other or your mom or somebody's birthday or your anniversary with your spouse. How did it go down? How bad was it? What was the fallout? Did it end the relationship? What did you have to do to make it up? Lots of angles here at 1-800-520-1067. Got some great calls on the line. Let's start with let's go to line 7, go out to Ontario and talk to Andrew. If you're going to forget your wife's birthday, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
How much worse is it if it's her 30th?
30 is a big deal for
ladies.
That's
a big one for women, right?
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Andrew, what's going on, buddy? And is it your wife's fault for not reminding you every single day leading up to her 30th birthday that it was coming?
Well, definitely that, and she definitely reminds me every 10 days before her birthday every year. But basically, my sister had got rid of her tenants in Catalina, so we're going out there to clean the house, mop, like sweep, all the stuff. My sister's like, hey, can you guys help us this weekend? And I'm like, yeah, no problem. And my wife's kind of looking at me, and I'm like, yeah, you know, let's help her out. She's in need. So we get on the boat, on the ferry, and my sister's like, man, I can't believe, you guys, I appreciate you guys came out and helped me on Gabby's birthday. And I'm like, looking at her, and I'm like.
And you said.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Like, we're going to go to the bar on Catalina and party for your birthday.
Is there any way she bought that?
She looked at me, she was like, yeah, nice try.
Have you asked her if she thought maybe this whole thing was an elaborate setup, like you had something amazing that was going to happen on Catalina? There was no cleaning involved?
Well, no, because even leading up to that, my sister was like, yeah, you know, me and you will go and we'll mop, we'll clean, we'll get all the crap out, and then Gabby can sit on the beach with the kids and just watch them. And then after that, you know, we'll probably go somewhere for her birthday. And I'm like, yeah, the bar, the one that we planned to.
Sure.
Oh, man.
How's, you know, like I planned all along.
Have any of your friends told you? How's Gabby doing?
Thank you, Andrew. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Brian, Culver City. I love this call, too. Line 2, please. Hey, Brian, thanks for calling the Kevin Beach Show. What happened?
Okay, so I talked to my mom on her birthday and don't even realize it. Talk to her about life, talk to her about travels, and hang up the phone call, and I don't mention it. Mm. 2 weeks later, I finish with a rock and roll show, and my dad comes up to me and says, Brian, did you forget something a couple weeks ago? And I'm like, I don't know what. Like, he's like, dude, you forgot your mother's birthday.
You said, I was rocking too hard to remember that.
That's right,
oh,
man.
Oh, my God. And all the joy of the show immediately just left.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she hurts your high. What a bitch.
What a bitch, right? And by the way, all she did was give you life. I mean, it's not like she could expect you to remember what day it was.
I know. I mean, the shock and horror that I felt in this moment that my dad had to deliver.
Right.
Yeah.
That's okay. Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Ismail. He's on line 6 in Huntington Park. You think it's Ismail and not Ishmael? What do you guys think Beer Mug's putting up here?
I would guess it's Ishmael. Is that right?
Hello, hello, caller.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
What's your first name?
It's Ismail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ismail. All right, let's hear it. What happened?
Well, when I was about 10 years old, my mom forgot my birthday.
Oh.
How does that count?
That hurts. As a kid, that hurts. Because she doesn't love you, right?
No, she
clearly.
Loves me.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, I think she doesn't love you is what we're learning.
Yeah.
What happened? I mean, what was her explanation for how she could forget her own son's birthday?
Well, I can't remember the details for her reasoning, but I just remember my own experience. So, like, I woke up and I was expecting a hug, a birthday cake, or something, or, you know, a breakfast. Oh,
from the second you woke up, you were anticipating something great.
Yeah.
Yeah, as she normally does, but nothing happened. Throughout the day, nothing happened. Didn't get acknowledged, and I was thinking, maybe they're going to do something later for me as a surprise.
Yeah.
But nothing happened. And then towards the end of the night, I was so, like, upset. Oh. I was bratty. And my mom she asked me, she said, why are you acting like this? And then I told her, well, maybe because you forgot my birthday.
Oh.
And she was like, what? Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And, yeah, she apologized. And she made it up to me the next day. But
and
it
you
was
said, get out. You're not my real mom.
No?
This is some real-life 16 candle stuff,
yeah,
you guys.
That's really
someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Dear, thank you very much for the call, ACBL. Dear Kevin and Bean, this email will put a bow on this topic. Mine was a little bit different. I came home on a Wednesday with a dozen roses and gave them to my wife. With an accusatory look on her face, she said, "Hey, what did you do?" I told her it was our 7th wedding anniversary, and she was so surprised. She had no idea. We never made it to our 8th. It looks like she was already checked out from the marriage, says Matt.
All right, I know you wanted to quit, but I got to go to one more if you don't mind. One more.
Okay.
Because this is unbelievable. Let's go to Nick, who is calling us from South Pasadena. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. Yeah, well, I was married for the first 7 years, and I forgot. I remember the first one and then, like, I think the third one. But I forgot the other ones, and I'm not saying it's the only reason.
Wait, you were married 7 years, and you forgot all of the
anniversaries of them,
except for 1 and 3.
Yeah, wow. I was smoking a lot of weed back then. So anyway, the day after, she said, "Don't forget ever again." I promised her, and we had therapy, blah blah. So
blah blah.
Then
blah,
the eighth one.
You forgot.
Yeah. Yada, yada.
Look.
And on the 8th one, I forgot. And the next day, she filed. And then you have 30 days to answer after they give it to you.
Right.
And I was giving her flowers and everything because we were still staying in the same place. Flowers and gifts every day. And I never answered. And she took my default. And we got divorced. And that's that. And, you know,
blah, blah,
she
blah.
Got the twins. And I got visitation. And
But it's, you know, kind of... It's kind of her fault for marrying you, though, right, Nick? Let's all be honest here.
Listen, I remember when you guys were doing the mornings due on KMET, KMET, and then
we
and
were
those guest spots on with Chick Hearn on Bowling for Dollars. You guys are going to make it. I love you guys.
You're going to make it.
I hope so, Nick. Thank you. Fingers crossed. Right. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Thursday morning, Ralph Grammer is here, has another look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, love is in the air.
Love is in the air. Like the da 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 da. I don't really know the words.
Everyone be quiet. Everyone be quiet. Let him sing.
If you don't move, he may just keep going. Why is love in the air, Ralph? What's going on? What's the news?
Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton have officially come out of the closet and announced they are an item. A representative for Gwen told Us Weekly magazine they're longtime friends who have very recently started dating. So all the rumors were true. Remember all the times they said, "Oh no, we're just friends, we're co-workers. Oh, The Voice, oh, Steel, oh, turn my chair around." Yeah, the chair wasn't the only thing they were turning around, right?
Huh.
Chair
I don't know what that means, but still,
around.
It sounds
You're not suggesting
dirty.
that their coworker attraction led to each of their respective marriages collapsing, are you?
Not at all.
It's an absurd conclusion.
Good. Right.
Why would you even bring that up? Just,
it sounded like you were suggesting that there was a relationship between them getting to know
she
each other
say
on
anything
TV
about that
TV show.
Hardly. Okay. I was talking about the stealing round. I don't know much about that show, but apparently that's a thing.
That's alleged.
And you know, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. So while Jesus has bestowed love upon Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton, Joe Jonas and Gigi Hadid have broken up.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster.
Yeah, sad. Sad
Not
news.
Gigi
Hadid and Joe, you're no longer together.
Oh.
Apparently... Joe says it was just too hard to maintain a relationship with their crazy schedules. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're dating Gigi Hadid, you change your schedule. You quit your job. You do whatever. You just carry her bags to the next photo shoot, you dumbass.
Yeah, what's he doing that's more important than being with her?
Nothing. I've heard his music. Not important. Take that purity ring and stick it right up his...
I don't think you need to...
Is he still wearing the purity ring?
Oh, I don't think so.
That was all BS to begin with, right? That was faux. That was
Hey, those
faux.
Jonas Brothers assholes!
Right? Congratulations to Microsoft. Yesterday.
Are you laughing at soft?
No, I'm just laughing at congratulations to Microsoft. It's just such a random statement to hear.
Well, wait till you hear what they happened to them.
All right.
Their new video game, Halo 5 Guardians.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
just crossed the $400 million worldwide earning mark.
That seems good.
That is very good. It's the biggest launch in Halo franchise history, as well as the fastest selling Xbox One exclusive in history. Total earnings for the five-game series of Halo. What do you think? Total. All five Halos so far. What have they earned so far to this day, right now, to this minute?
$1.4
billion. Didn't you just say maybe
this,
more.
This one was a billion?
And I said this 400 one million.
Billion. This one passed 400 million. Million.
Okay. You people don't listen at all.
I was
no,
listening.
Not really.
At all.
No.
Kevin was listening.
I'm the only
you,
one who listens.
Total earning for the five-game Halo set series? $5 billion.
That's why I said
yeah!
more than.
Well, so you can say more, but you're not going to put a number out
no,
there.
No, of course no, not. She's not going to put really herself listening. Out there because she wasn't listening.
That's what Chip does with the rest of her day. She leaves here and she goes and plays Halo.
Yes,
that's it.
And everything else, and Madden, and
yeah,
FIFA.
There's a pop-up Halo store. I sent it to Chip yesterday on La Brea, at the Undefeated store. You could go in and play Halo and get all sorts of stuff. Some people might care. I made a bad choice. But it's La Brea first.
I care now less.
Wow. Oh, and she plays all the time.
She cared when I texted it to her yesterday.
Oh. You two want to carry this on off the show?
What's
maybe
happening?
May have a conversation
we
off
we're
air.
On. Yes.
We can hash this out.
Sorry.
Doing the show biz.
Ah, hell.
Right?
Love is in the air. Every sight and every sound.
That's it. That's the lyric I didn't know.
Yes. Tomorrow night, Kevin Smith and I, you'll listen to us, won't you? These people won't listen. Maybe you'll listen to us. Come to the Improv on Melrose and hear us do Hollywood Babylon, the show we do there on the reg. Love to have you come by 10 p.m. tomorrow night and get your tickets and more information at improv.com. But we have a really good time, and I think you will, too.
This is your only November show,
stop
correct?
Talking.
Yes. This is the only.
So this is a good one to see.
This is the only Babble in the month of November that we'll be doing. So if you'd like to come on out,
I
we'd love to have you. And by have
it's
you,
not.
I mean, see us backstage. We've got a glass table. You know what I mean?
Can you stop?
No way.
Can you stop making that noise?
You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
Right. You with me?
Nope.
Come on.
Nope. No way. No way. What is this garbage?
Just saying. Glass table.
Nope.
You,
not
me,
once.
You, me?
Not never.
You mean Kevin
nope.
Smith at a glass table?
Nope.
I'll be under it.
No
oh,
way. No way.
Wow.
Get real.
Today's
nope.
Celebrity birthdays. Ryan Adams is 41. Brian Adams is 56 today. They share a birthday and almost.
They're from Canada.
One of them's from Canada. Are they both from Canada?
I think just Brian is.
Just Brian, I think, yeah. Sam Rockwell, one of my favorite actors. No, I will not have it. All right. I'll do it so Kevin can lip sync to it. I'll enjoy that part. No, this is not Rockwell of Someone's Watching Me fame. This is Sam Rockwell. 47. Seth Gilliam, Father Gabriel in The Walking Dead, is 47.
I was just going to power through.
Famke Janssen is 51. Tilda Swinton, 55. Robert Patrick from Scorpion is 57. And reality star Kris Jenner celebrates her 60th birthday today. Get her something she really enjoys. Injector lips. She loves that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky is on the phone. Hey, Doc.
Hey, Bean. What's going on?
How are you, sir? I'm very excited. You're going to be on Drunk History next Tuesday. Can you tell us anything about what you're going to be doing?
I can. It's very exciting. I love that show. Much to everyone's a surprise. I am not drinking. Duncan Trussell is doing the drinking. He's a friend of mine. And you check out Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. I do a lot of those with him once in a while.
Right.
Get another surprise for people. Mm-hmm. But I am a judge breaking up the monopoly that Thomas Edison had around the movie industry.
You get to be in the recreation. That's the
awesome.
Best.
That's
it's
awesome.
Best. It's so fun.
That's
it's
so great.
It's the best time. Yeah.
How tough is it to, for folks who don't know, in Drunk History, a drunk person tells a story from history and then actors recreate that person, what it is they're saying, and lip sync their words. How tough is that to do?
You have to memorize it beforehand, and then they pump it in overhead with speakers. And the hardest part is not what they're saying. That's kind of easy. The hardest part is their cadence and rhythm because they're so messed up. You have to, it's literally like talking, like you've got to get the cadence exactly right so your lips are going when they're speaking. That's the hard part.
But you've spent a lot of time talking to drunk people.
Oh, yeah. I felt very familiar.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's Drug History next Tuesday on Comedy Central. So definitely check out Dr. Drew's episode. That sounds like a lot of fun. Listen, I'm glad you're on with us today. We've been talking about something off the air, and Ralph actually brought it on the air a couple of days ago, too, about Dr. Phil, who in a recent series of shows, I think two episodes in a row, he played back audio tapes that had been secretly recorded on Jared Fogle. Now, he's the Subway spokesperson guy who we hope is going to go away to prison for a long, long time for all of the pedophilia charges against him. But we were discussing, among other things, is there any benefit to Dr. Phil or any even news organization playing back these audio tapes of Jared Fogle talking about the desirous feelings he has about little kids on the air?
Well, let me ask you this. What do you perceive to be the downside? And I'll tell you what I think is the upside.
Well, I think the downside is just that there's no benefit for it except for it's just sensationalism for Dr. Phil in this case to get TV ratings based on the pain of a lot of people who have been badly hurt by Jared Fogle.
I actually disagree. I think that it was so creepy and so stunning and so hard to get your head around when you hear how this man's mind works. I thought it was important for us all to listen and not look away because it lets you know, first, A, they're among us. They're out there, but not by the thousands, by the maybe hundreds of thousands, number one.
Wow, that's...
And number two, this is how their minds work. Do not pretend something different is happening. This is what you've got to really realize. They have this profound preoccupation. They are highly motivated. And it is you as a normal person, you can't even go there. So if you wouldn't even think about somebody motivated to exploit your kids that way unless you really sat down and listened and got your head around this. So I actually thought it was a public service.
All right.
I thought it was a good thing.
Do you think Dr. Phil did it for those reasons?
Well, the fact that he did it on the first day of sweeps.
First and second.
Listen, yes.
Phil knows how to do great television, and it was great TV. That's his job. His job is to do a talk show and do television. And so the producers that put the thing together, their job is to do television. We understand that, but the competing interests are, okay, those guys are doing television. Can something actually good happen as a result? And even though they're making good television decisions, I think the net result of their work was something positive happened. I really do.
So you think that somewhere out there in their TV viewership, a mom or a dad became more aware of the dangers of pedophilia as a result of this episode?
I have to tell you, even as someone that has worked with people with these sorts of impulses, the degree to which this guy is in his pathology changed even me. It gets into your gut. It's like, oh, man, that is – do not – if you hear anything – you know, if you – It gets you back into that mind frame of trusting your instinct, man. If I ever even have the slightest hint that somebody may be thinking like this, I know now what that is. I've really not heard it quite that vividly, maybe ever. Mm. It was disgusting.
All right, on a different topic, what do you think of Dr. Phil?
Why are you guys you're baiting me on this?
He seems super hateable to us. Yes, we'll admit that up front.
I don't like the way people – listen, he's doing television. He's doing what he's supposed to do. I don't like the way people think of him. I don't like America's doctor. I don't like that moniker. I don't like people thinking about him that way.
Because you're America's doctor, right?
Thank you. But he doesn't have to be presented that way, but that's what they do. He was a psychologist. He no longer practices or has a license, and now he does television. Let's not pretend anything else. And he does a good job at television.
All right. Let me ask you another couple of quick questions about pedophilia, because you're right. It's a very difficult topic for people to hear about, and most people don't want to, and they want to turn away. And it's understandable why, because it's about as heinous a crime as humans have ever come up with. Are all pedophiles abused as children? Is that why you become a pedophile? It's not something you're born with. It's something you learn. It's learned behavior, right, doctor?
And let me point out that, again, it's because they aired those tapes that we're having an important conversation. And as I've been saying on Loveline for years and years, we have gone through a 20-year period where there has been an absolute epidemic of adverse childhood experiences. with an unbelievable rate of childhood sexual exploitation and abuse. And yes, for the most part, but not necessarily, but for the most part, it is early childhood sexualization by adults, sometimes by other children who an adult had had their hands on. But, you know, adults will mess with kids and kids will mess with other kids. Any sexually directed behavior shatters the upper limits of that young brain's ability to regulate, and it changes the trajectory of their motivational systems such that, yes, they can. They have a risk for becoming preoccupied with kids. Now, once that happens, it's not as though they then act out on one or two kids. They will act out on maybe hundreds. And so this thing then grows exponentially at a factor of two. So we have a really huge population of people who've been through these terrible experiences.
All right. So my last question on that then, Dr. Drew, is if that's the case, and that turns out to be the case in Jared Fogle's instance, for instance, should he receive some sort of lighter sentence or less jail and more help? What do you do with somebody like that if it's childhood trauma that makes you – that leads you in the direction toward where you're susceptible to commit these kinds of crimes?
Kevin, I'm so glad that Bean has Asperger's because it makes him think outside the box
yeah.
a little bit. And it really does. And these are all good questions. And it is the very – the essence of the question, which is the very child for whom we are – our hearts are going out and are crying for that is the victim of the perpetrator – has a risk for becoming the next perpetrator. And so my response to that is, if you, any of you out there, have been through these horrible experiences, not your fault. You're having these confused impulses, not your fault. Now, here's where your fault does come in. If you don't get help and you act on those impulses, God help you. Now it's up to the legal system to take you down. If you have those impulses and you go get treatment, learn how to contain them, learn what to do with them, now we're making a difference.
And Dr. Drew, I just want to ask one follow-up because of the charity that my wife and I run for abused women and children, and that is it never completely goes away, the damage that's done when you're a kid, right? You learn to deal with it, but it never goes away.
Well, it's a scar, right? It's a trauma, and you have to re-regulate, rewire your brain. And, yes, you'll always have some liability, but you may come out with certain assets, too. You may have better empathy for people that have been traumatized, and good things can happen as a result. But, yeah, you're changed forever by those experiences. But I don't want to give the impression that if you had those experiences, you're necessarily going to become a perpetrator. That's
right.
That's not there. But if you have – and by the way, pedophiles can be born. And pedophilia, which is a sexual orientation, meaning that is what you like, the way Adam likes – you know, or some people like certain style of a hair color or eye color or whatever. This is what they like. That is not something that can be treated. The people that are confused, have impulses that are problematic, they can be treated. But the one for whom pedophilia is their sexual orientation, it can't be treated, but it can be contained.
Wow. Well, this was a very important conversation, Doctor. I'm glad we had an opportunity to talk to you about it. You can listen to Dr. Drew on Loveline with his friend Mike Catherwood, of course, five nights a week here on K-Rock. Also look for him with Mike on weekday afternoons at KABC. And most importantly, the new Dr. Drew on call, HLN, Monday through Thursday night at 6. Great talk, Doc. We'll do it again next week. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
How could we possibly get a moment ready that fast?
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
Seriously. Wow.
So let's go back in time to the beginning of that song, shall we?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin. KROQ.
KROQ 1-800-520-1067 is the number for a pair of one-day tickets. All right, listen, that's not going to work. Start that again. All right, I started talking without my mic on. It's not that big a deal.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I think it's the All length of time that you talked without your mic on.
I did talk for about 5 seconds before I realized it wasn't on. And then Chip lost it, and then Allie lost it. And once people lose it, I can't.
Well, who's the incompetent employee that should be fired for not turning your mic on? That's my question. Who's running the sloppy board down there?
Muggs.
I think it was the guy who ate the meatloaf.
The meatloaf guy runs the meatloaf microphone, thief. Too. Oh, he's got a one-way ticket out of here.
Period.
Right. Fire meatloaf!
That's what we're saying, right?
We got troubles here, you guys. We got troubles on this show.
Mm.
Hey, I think we got time for one more look at the showbiz beat with our friend Ralph Garman.
And then the weekend.
Real quick. No, it's
what?
Thursday.
What?
Tomorrow's Friday.
Oh.
Real quick email from listener Edwin, who always provides me with a chuckle.
regarding the manic meatloaf meltdown, as he was now referring to it. Ed Royce, first of all, I saw Meatloaf Thief at the Troube, and they rock. Secondly, replace every mention of Meatloaf and Thief in that email with daylight savings time, and Bean is in full agreement. So,
good point.
You had a point there. All right, let's talk about show business news. I want to give you a heads up. If you are a fan of Ian Ziering, of course, from Beverly Hills 90210, and most recently Sharknado, here's your chance to spend some time with Ian, to meet him tomorrow, November the 6th at 10 a.m. He will be at the Ace Hardware in Studio City with a group of local beekeepers.
What?
They're having a big rally to urge home improvement retailers to remove bee-killing pesticides from their store shelves. So if you'd like to support bees with the National Swarm to Save Bees event, you can meet him tomorrow at the Ace Hardware in Studio City, California, on Ventura, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Go out and join the bees and support the bee lovers. Ian, crowds of gardeners, beekeepers, and bee lovers will gather in front of the Ace Hardware holding large signs, letters, and be dressed in bee costumes.
I support every bit of that.
So, there you have it.
You know, I'm very concerned about the plight of the bees, as we all should be, because there's not going to be any food if we continue to kill off bees at the alarming rate which we have been.
But he kills some sharks, and you're fine with that.
Yeah, right?
This colony collapse disorder is the real deal, you guys.
Chainsaw.
It's very, very bad.
Chainsaw to shark, man.
Fine.
Fine.
No problem.
No problem. Oh, then who cares? They don't bother me. But, oh, bees. Well, Bean will be out there in a bee costume holding a sign.
Yes, I will.
So, you see him, give him a swift kick to the nards.
I'm going to, you know, I talk about all the things I'm going to do whenever
I'm you're not going to do any of them, though.
I am.
Not talk about them.
Beekeeping is something I'm very serious about. when I get the time, I don't have the time right now. But when I get the time, I'm going to be the best beekeeping podcaster you've ever heard.
You're going to get one of those interoffice memos from me soon. And it's going to be just, I can't bear it anymore with the beekeeping and the threats of things that will never happen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to lose it, and you'll know that'll be the precursor. That'll be the rumble of the thunder in the distance before the storm comes. Just want to let you know. When you read that, run for the hills. I'm planning my future,
okay. And I think a lot about the things that I'm looking forward to and having some time
You're
for.
You're not going to be a beekeeper.
I am going to be a beekeeper.
Not
I'm very
happen.
Serious about
it's
that.
It's not going to happen. There's no beekeeping in your future. You don't have friends that are beekeepers.
I do.
You just don't.
I'm very interested in the subject, and I'm very interested in helping save the world by helping, you know, make more bees.
Beekeeper feelings.
He's got beekeeper.
Do have beekeeper feelings. Thank you, Allie.
You're welcome.
Let's get Ian on tomorrow morning.
No.
And talk to him about it. Find out what's up.
Yeah. Why don't you put that on your podcast? Your beekeeping podcast.
His podcast
that you don't have.
That he doesn't have? Along with his Taylor Swift podcast he doesn't have and his Pluto podcast he doesn't have.
I just don't have time. I'm too busy. Look, this show takes a lot of time.
Right, but when you don't do this show and you don't have a lot of
things. Done at 11 a.m.
You're not going to beekeep.
You know what? You could beekeep at noon. There's plenty of time to beekeep.
I don't have time to beekeep. I'm too busy right now.
Busy what?
Writing letters about daylight saving.
Yeah, standard time? But all your standard time tweeting? Is that how busy you are?
I mean, that takes a small portion of my time, but yeah, I'm busy doing lots of
things. Oh, you.
Sit down.
I wish we had meatloaf trouble here. I wish that was the worst of our troubles, was the meatloaf thief.
Bean's going to be a beekeeper.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
Beekeepers. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to some entertainment news. Mm-hmm. Miguel Ferrer, it has been announced, will be back as FBI agent Albert Rosenfield in the upcoming reboot of Twin Peaks. I'm very excited. I loved his character on that show.
He was great.
He's going to be back. Kyle MacLachlan, of course, Cheryl Lee returning as well, along with new cast members like Balthazar Getty and Amanda Seyfried. All of this under the direction of David Lynch, and sadly, I have to remind you, will debut on Showtime in the summer of 2017. So, they're making us wait.
Say 2017?
2017 until we see...
I can play the music.
Until 2016, then you start playing the music. Sad news, Melissa Matheson, one of the great screenwriters, has passed away. Probably best known for her Oscar-nominated screenplay for E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
By the way, what beat E.T. for Oscar-winning screenplay that year? Do you know?
May have been Gandhi.
Oh. Bean was ready to attack.
He was ready to jump all over it.
All right, it was Gandhi. All right, well, what am I going
to
say about
I'm not
Gandhi.
Sure. I seem to remember that was the year Gandhi
pretty good
was
movie.
Gandhi was a pretty cool dude, so I guess I can't really.
There's no beekeeper. But he was fine.
But I'm just saying, in terms of magic movies, movies that have really stood the test of time, that just, if anything, get better year after year, E.T. has got to be on a short list of films like that. So how did that not win the Oscar?
Someone in the other room, if you're still listening, look it up and see what beat E.T. is for original screenplay that year.
I feel like maybe Bean should just look that up.
No.
I'm looking it up.
He's too busy.
Like after the
show.
He's
too busy. He's got his bees.
In between beekeeping.
And podcasting. He's got no time. She also wrote The Black Stallion, another great film, The Escape Artist, which I liked a lot, and BFG, which is currently now in post-production and will be released posthumously for her in 2016. Also married to Harrison Ford from 1993 to 2004. She met Ford when she was a young assistant on the set of Apocalypse Now back in 1976, and they had two kids together. Just 65 years old, so that was sad, sad news.
It was indeed Gandhi.
Was it Gandhi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The good news is our friend Jordan Peele's making a movie.
All right.
It is a horror thriller called Get Out. This is a straight-up thriller, by the way. This isn't a comedy, even though he's best known for his work, of course, with Key and Peele. Jordan has written the film, will be directing it, and just cast Allison Williams, of course, from Girls and NBC's Peter Pan, as the lead in this thriller. So, looking forward to it. He's a talented guy. I think it's going to be good.
I agree.
And another movie's in the works, an animated comedy called Blazing Samurai. A takeoff on Mel Brooks' Blazing Saddles.
Stop.
And Mel is actually going to be one of the voices in the movie, along with this impressive cast. Samuel L. Jackson, Michael Cera is in the lead, George Takei, Gabriel Iglesias, Jaman Hunsu, Michelle Yeoh, and Ricky Gervais just joined the cast.
Wow.
It's a story about a dog who longs to become a true samurai and save his town from a cat who runs an evil gang there. I'm glad cat is the villain and dog is the hero the way it should be. Ricky
reflecting true life.
Will play one of the sneaky bad cats in the film, and Michael Cera will play the lead hero dog. That's good news. And I've been getting a lot of emails from people who are like Allie and Dave, the King of Mexico, have never seen any of the James Bond movies.
There's a lot of us.
There are. Mm-hmm. Sad number. Surprisingly so, given the success of that franchise. Kelly Purcell is one of those people who writes in. My husband and I realize we've never seen any of the James Bond movies after listening to you guys recently. Made me realize we are horrible people for never doing so. Therefore, we've decided to join the rest of humanity and watch these films. However, there are a plethora of them. Can you recommend the top five to watch first to get our journey started? Now, a lot of people have this in mind, of course, because Spectre comes out tomorrow in theaters. And so if you want to catch up on the Bond franchise and you need sort of a shorthand, Bond for Dummies, if you're going to watch five movies before you see Spectre to try to get an overview of the franchise's history, here's my selection for you. Start with Goldfinger.
Okay.
Classic Sean Connery James Bond film. The one that sort of created the template that would be followed for many years with that franchise. Maybe not even the best of the Connery films, but certainly the one that captures that era of Bond best. Then watch On Her Majesty's Secret Service. The one shot with George Lazenby. Great storytelling and really compelling sort of to move the character along. Then, if you want to introduce yourself to Roger Moore's interpretation, Live and Let Die. See that one for the third. Then GoldenEye with Pierce Brosnan. And then I would recommend Skyfall to bring you up to date with Daniel Craig. Those five films will kind of give you a shorthand to get yourself through the franchise before you see Spectre this weekend. So those are my recommendations.
All right. Now, Allie, you taking notes? You got that?
Yeah.
What were they?
What were they?
GoldenEye.
That's one.
Goldfinger.
That's two.
Queen's Majesty thing? Something?
On Her Majesty's Secret Service?
Pretty close.
Right? Skyfall?
Right.
And Octopus Lives.
No. Live and Let Die.
Yes. But was Octopussy in it?
No.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ryan Adams, 41 years old today. Bryan Adams is 56 years old today. Seth Gilliam, Father Gabriel on The Walking Dead, he's 47. Famke Janssen, who was a Bond girl herself. She was in GoldenEye with Pierce Brosnan. 51 years old. Tilda Swinton is 55. Robert Patrick from Scorpion. And, of course, Terminator, 57 years old today. And Sam Rockwell. We've been celebrating his birthday all morning long. One of my favorite actors. 47 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, for my morning and all new Kevin Abicho. It is Friday, so we have the Movie Beat. We have RJ Bell from Las Vegas with his picks for NFL Week 9. We have Travis Pastrana in studio tomorrow. We have a major announcement tomorrow at 7:30.
Is it about bees?
No. I can rule that out.
Whoa. Damn it! Bean, you're supposed to close the lid on the beehive.
Darn it. And we also have Evander Holyfield.
The real deal?
Yep. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Beach.